Blog Talk Radio.
I'm gonna listen to a story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up to the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea. Well, the first thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. The kinfolk said, Jed, move away from there. Said, California is the place you ought to be. So they loaded up the truck and they moved to Beverly Hills, that is, swimming pools, movie stars.
The Beverly Hillbilly.
I just had to throw that in there. Wow, what a way to start a show. Anyway, sorry to be late again, but I was on time at first. We had an issue. I was bad programming the show in. I only put a, what was it, 15 minute duration. Sorry about that, so we had to reset everything. So here we are. We're here, finally. This is Crazy Nation Radio Show. It's Ron Rick, and I'm glad everybody hang out with this man for a while. Sorry about the delay. But things do happen. Sometimes we get forgetful in our old age. It's over for me. I'm over the hill. It's the end of my ride. I cannot more be no more a pack mule than I am. But no. Yeah. Anyway, I just wasn't out in a hurry. Kind of, you know, hey, sometimes. All right. But anyway, I don't know what's going on in the news lately. You know, what are we blowing up lately in the country? If anybody knows, you should call and tell me. Helped me out a little bit because I not kept up nothing today. It is Labor Day weekend, you know. The only holiday for the poor slaves that we are is, you know, Labor Day weekend. So we go to jail usually in times, you know, Labor Day. You know, in my area, you know, the DUI checkup points are up and running hot and heavy everywhere. So don't see much traffic on the road. People are getting smarter. They ain't giving up their money unless they're real drunk and stupid dude anyway. But hey, I'm not going to keep rattling, man. I'm going to bring my co-host on, Antoinette from Delaware. What are you doing, Antoinette? Thank you for
what am I doing?
Up. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm just sitting here. I'm laughing at what you started off with. The Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah. I couldn't help it. You know, well, because I am a hillbilly, and I have to blame it on the hillbillyism I have. You know, I guess. I don't know.
Yes.
No, I just, you know,
and
I felt stupid. I am stupid anyway.
And then you put this was your holiday. You
yeah.
already have 52 holidays.
I do.
You have 52 of them.
Well, this is the holiday. It's Labor Day weekend. Tomorrow's
no,
Labor Day.
You can't have this.
And why not?
This is not yours because you have 52 of them.
52 of them.
Yes.
Can,
and
can you
give me.
Can you use that in a sentence?
Ron,
can you define that?
52 holidays in a year.
52. Damn, I'm doing good. Okay.
Yes.
Can you show me the list? I need to update my calendar.
Well,
do I play it in a couple more? Can I get at least a 62, 72? That'd be more better.
No, you just have
no, these weekend holidays, I mean the whole weekend holiday.
No, just a day.
How many weekends
are
in a year?
52.
Well, there you go. All right, now
okay.
I got you.
That's it.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Well, what about then when the weekends fall into a Monday? You know, I pick up a Monday.
Nope. You have more holidays in a year than anyone else.
How do you figure this? Where do you come up with this? How do I have all these holidays?
Here it is.
Thank you.
Christmas and New Year's. But every bride is mine. I got 52 a year. That is my day.
Yeah,
my
day. Yeah, yeah. That's me. Damn right.
Now, did that answer your question?
Yes, it did. Very well.
Very good.
Take a look at the chat room. Here's a funny one that popped in. Blog Talk Radio Experts.
I
didn't
see
stick around long. Okay.
I'm sorry, Bear. What was the question? I'm sorry. I wasn't in the room. I'm sorry. You have no... Had no sound. Did you refresh?
Now you got us.
Oh, okay. You had to. Okay.
Go.
Well, I'm glad you have sound now. I'm sorry. I wasn't in the room. I'm really sorry, y'all.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
52
holidays.
Yes.
Damn right. Sweet. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's the best way to have it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you don't need
I would like to get more. What do you mean?
Well,
what's the flavor of the weekend?
Anymore.
So I can't have tomorrow? Is what you're
no,
saying I can't
yeah,
have tomorrow?
You do them. No.
Well, according to the calendar, it says it's Labor
Day. Well, hey, you have Friday.
Yeah,
so
I took Friday, too.
You didn't
take
Friday?
You know,
okay, then, that's it.
Yes, I did.
You know,
and
they
I'm
said everybody else has
too.
Christmas and New Year's. You have Fridays.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that's
okay.
it. You know, you got all of the rest of them. I mean, you know, you have
right.
every you have every Friday. Everybody else gets to enjoy the rest of the holidays because we're not privileged
yes.
enough to have every Friday.
Well, I was kind of thrown into that. I mean, I was victimized and had to be there. Had to be Fridays. You know, Friday's my day.
Well,
you know, it's the last
that's
day of the week. You know. Time to get partied up and watch politics and, you know, sports and gamble on which one's going to win. I don't know. It's Friday. Hey, you know, it's time to party. You know, don't you party on Fridays? Everybody parties on Fridays.
I don't.
Okay, now I'm being disturbed by somebody.
I have to get ready the next day. I have to get ready the next day for grandchildren.
Well, I'm going to be right back in just a second.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, isn't that nice of him? Well, while we're waiting for Ron, I don't know what he's doing. But song's not playing.
For you, I'm standing on my own to be. I'm a soul and a bulletproof.
Well, that was entertaining.
Yes, it was. You know, Ron, that would be a great song for the trolls. Wasn't it? Can you imagine every time you pick one, another one bites the dust?
When you're kicking them out of the chat room, kicking them.
Yeah.
That's an old tune.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Back in my days when I was a little younger. Yesterday,
when I was younger.
Yes, younger. I was a young kid one day.
Oh, you were a kid. I told you about them kids.
I'm telling you, I was kicking ass, man. I was. Good God. So, tell me.
Okay.
You were talking about some information on New York. You heard about something about the police.
Okay, well, I just put in a link for you. I put in a link for y'all. At least 5 Ferguson officers, apart from Brown shooter, have been named in lawsuits.
Oh.
It's in the Washington Post.
They're planning on going for that money, ain't they? I have not understood, not have heard the deal on what the grand jury has came up. Besides the prosecutor, so much not, I don't get it. I ain't heard nothing.
Oh, with the prosecutor, they're going to let the prosecutor stay. Now, as far as I know, unless they changed it, I heard the original ruling, and I haven't heard anything else since.
Yeah,
then.
I mean, did they pull down the indictment on murder or what? Yeah.
Oh, okay. As far as the cop though, I know today, I believe it was I'm going to say 100 and something because I'm not exactly sure of the exact number of rallies that were for the police officer today. So I guess they were doing fundraisers and everything to help the police officer that murdered Michael Brown. Which they have that right to do so.
This story makes, wow, that's crazy. In 4 federal lawsuits, including the one that is on appeal, and more than a half a dozen investigations over the past decade, colleagues of Darren Wilson have accepted consistent allegations, including killing a mentally ill man with a taser pistol, whipping a child, choking and hogtying a child, and beating a man who's later charged with destroying city property because he blood spilled on an officer's clothes. Ain't dead a bitch.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You talk about money grubbing sons of bitches. Wow. It's corporation control, man. I'm telling you, it's all corporate control.
Yes, it is.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know, in the days that we're living in, you know, people look at money as, you know, the end all. You know, money is everything.
Right, right.
You know, instead of people making the world go around, they think money makes the world go around.
Right.
You know, no one cares about people. They care about money.
Well, you know, it goes on here. It says one officer has faced 3 internal affairs probes and 2 lawsuits over claims he violated civil rights and excessive force while working at previous police departments in the mid-2000s. The department demoted him after finding credible evidence to support one of the complaints, and his defense was hired by the Ferguson Force. Wow. Subsequently, he was hired by the Ferguson Force. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
You know, they got a problem. They don't need to be in what they're doing. There's some whack jobs in this world. I'm telling you, man, they're there. But I think the way the police are handling things nowadays is way over aggressive anyway, period. I mean, just beating the shit out of people and, you know, doing what they want to them. Then you got prosecutors lying. Cops lie. Prosecutors lie. You know, they threaten you and extort you into you know, pleading guilty to something you probably didn't do, or wasn't no big deal anyway, but you suck it out of everybody. That's why you want to avoid them.
When I was the admin assistant for the EOC chairman, we had to set up classes for the police officers, you know, when they first came on the force. And they had to, you know, take a diversity course and, you know, learn how to deal with different types of people of different racial groups and everything else.
Right.
Now, I don't, you know, it's been years since I've been there, so I don't know if they still do this or not. But I do think that that is a course that they could probably get maybe once or twice a year, you know, just as a refresher that all police officers, you know, around the globe. And, you know, because we have to learn to deal with people regardless of where they are.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's a given. But,
yeah,
you know, I mean, a person like that should not have that type of job, shouldn't qualify for that type of job. If you fucked up at another police station, you know, it'd be like the how they use radios to run your name, or computers run your name. Well, then, why didn't they run the computer to run this idiot's name? And it's okay, you know, for him to go out and do that kind of bullshit? No. But you know how it's going to be. It's got to have some media time. So it's got to have that.
Of course. You know, it got to have its spend on it, you know. Now.
Right.
You know, that's why I said, it was someone the other night that had said that after a while, people are going to forget Michael Brown, and it's just going to be, you know, centered on everything else. And, which is unfortunate. Because this child is still gone. You know, so many other children are gone that were murdered. And, you know, I think that it's just the focus is on the wrong thing. You know, it's an agenda.
Right.
You know, just like I said, if anybody hasn't read the King Alfred Plan, RX-84, I really suggest that you do. And, you know, it's a plan. It's a plan that has been in, oh, Lord, I know that it became RX-84 was when Reagan got involved with it, because then it also included the Latinos. So before it was just black men, and then it became RX-84 when Reagan got involved and they added the Latinos. So but you know, regardless of what your color is, if you read the King Alfred Plan, you can see that it is in effect.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You're absolutely right. A lot of people don't know that. They don't look at that. They just look at what is right now. It's going to be now and new. That's what sells, now and new.
Yes.
You know, when you get a follow-up, you know, see an A&E program or some shit like that. If you get any follow-up, you know.
Yeah, because of course they'll make great movies from it, won't they?
Sure they will. Yep. 20 years later.
Well, if it's even 20 years now.
Yeah.
You know,
it don't take them long to make a play.
You know, I'm not a big movie person, so.
Right. Well, neither am I.
Yeah. So I. I don't know.
Yep. You said something about New York. I was talking about earlier today.
Yeah.
On the Polo Show.
I looked at it, and it doesn't look too good.
Okay.
I need to do some more research on that.
Okay. Well, that'd be interesting. That's the way it is.
Yeah, I really need to do some more research in it. I'm not exactly sure where they're going, and I really didn't have enough time to do it. I apologize.
I'm trying to...
That's not what I wanted. But that's okay.
It's Sunday night, folks. There was no topic tonight.
No, and I had grandchildren and was not expecting them today. And the little, well, my granddaughter told me, she said, Grandma, I'll see you tomorrow when she left. Are you going to cook me chicken?
I'll see you tomorrow, Granny.
I don't want to cook. Yeah, I don't want to cook. Grandma, I want chicken.
Oh, yeah.
So that means Grandma will be in the kitchen. Oh.
Best place for Grandma. Baking cookies, baking cakes. You know, pies, all that good stuff.
Well, see, that would work if my grandson wasn't here, if he didn't come, because his mother is no sugar, no, you know, she's really funny about everything. So I don't want a difference made. Yeah, I don't want a difference made between the two. You know, whereas, you know, go on and let her have it. He knows, you know, like, I'm not doing that. What am I making for tomorrow, beer? Probably baked chicken and vegetables and mashed potatoes and gravy, even though she doesn't eat mashed potatoes and gravy.
What the hell?
Yeah.
What about the rest of everybody, like yourself?
I eat mashed potatoes and gravy. Yeah.
You bitch. Wouldn't mess with the world.
And biscuits, because she prefers biscuits over yeast rolls. Everyone else prefers yeast rolls, but she likes biscuits. And I'll probably make a 7-Up cake, because my oldest son, my son to be here, so they like...
Baked.
Yeah, I love
baked
chicken.
Baked chickens are... That's all right. I like it grilled.
Oh, see, you would
egg.
Love my baked
fried.
Chicken. Even though we're not doing a grilled. Cooking show. But I roast mine, and I cook it in butter and honey and seasoning.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? So.
Well, when I do my chicken, I say, there's several ways I cook chicken. I like shove a beer can up its ass, put it on the grill, leave it there until it's cooked.
You know what? See, you just aren't right.
Well, yeah. You ever seen that done? You stick a beer, can of beer up in the chicken, and you set the stand. I got a stand on my barbecue grill right now just for that. Anyway, the beer flavors that chicken real nice.
No.
Good.
See, I put the vegetables. I cook the vegetables with the chicken while they're roasting.
Yeah.
And I have the vegetables around it.
Right. Right.
So they'll eat them then.
Well, there again, I'll cut them up.
But my grandson, he loves vegetables. My grandson loves vegetables. No, I'm not going out on
the grill. I can't get enough of them myself.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be 90-some degrees today, tomorrow, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
No. Well, see, beer, I don't drink, so. And I couldn't possibly dare.
Canned chicken.
Pardon me? He's a beer can chicken. It's awesome. But I couldn't possibly give something like that to my grandchildren.
Yeah.
My grandchildren are still babies. No, and I don't drink soda, so I don't give them soda.
Root beer instead of beer. That's a good idea, beer, honey. Never thought of that.
No, well, just get some Wild Sacrifice.
Do what?
Some Sacrifice. Sacrifice is what you use to make root beer soda. It grows wild.
Well, I don't know. Right.
Yeah, I know.
You say sassafras, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I just had some sassafras tea the past couple of days.
Yeah, doesn't it taste like root beer? Doesn't it taste like root beer?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's what goes in root beer, ain't it?
Pardon me?
I think. Don't they go in root beer soda, sassafras?
Yeah. My great-aunt used to make sacrifice soda. Iggy, you're saying...
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying hello. Hello, Iggy. Thank you.
Yeah, we lost her earlier.
Pardon me? And hello,
we lost her earlier.
Your boy is here with us.
Oh, I'll be damned.
And hello, Di.
Where'd they all come from?
They don't have any audio either. Try refreshing. I don't know... why there's no audio? I'm sorry. Thank you, Iggy. I don't know why y'all don't have. Why is the problem with the audio?
You have to refresh. We don't use stale. We don't use stale ingredients here on this show. You got to refresh. It's got to be fresh. It's got to be fresh.
Yeah.
Like a bullshit ad at Walmart.
I don't like cooking too much anymore. I used to love to cook
like
when
what?
I was in. I really don't like cooking too much anymore. I did in my younger years, but not too much now.
Yeah.
Golf dog. See, what the problem was that the person that scheduled the show, I don't know who did.
Yeah, the person that scheduled the show. Yeah, I do. I'm a witness.
Well, it wasn't Antoinette, y'all. They only scheduled it for 15 minutes. It was a technical error. So it had
very
to be,
technical.
It had to be restarted. Yeah, that show had to be deleted so that we can give y'all the full 2 hours. So
real technical.
We
real
apologize.
Technical.
It was an error.
From the bottom of my heart.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, y'all. No, but it was corrected.
Didn't you hear the announcement? Sorry, we're having technical difficulty. Please stand by. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. But I kind of like to say it, but you know, that's what I meant.
Yeah, I mean, so now it's an hour and a half. I don't understand, God.
No, we got the whole 2 hours. Yeah, we just got another hour, 26 minutes.
I deleted the first show because the timing was wrong. And we restarted at 11:30 on the East Coast.
We had to reset the show.
Yeah.
Kept the chat room on. The chat room stayed on, but the show stopped for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But it is now back on. All right. Let's see, we got some callers.
Oh, okay, great.
I'm opening up all phone lines, even trolls.
Oh, Lord,
don't you dare. 914 is a troll, I guarantee it.
Oh, that is not. That's my buddy.
Hello. I just came from treatments, and I'd like to discuss something.
Uh-huh.
Come on, I'm trying to sound like a troll. Would you work with me? I mean, I've got to get the hang of
that. It doesn't work.
He's just learning, Ed.
I'm just learning. I want to become a good troll.
You don't want to walk out being stupid.
I mean, Beasley and the Jew, they got all like the decorations and diplomas and everything.
Yeah.
I don't have any of that. How am I going
to
get that?
Well, you have to go to their class, dear.
Yeah, that ITT tech, I looked into it. They didn't
have
anything.
They got it online. You can take classes online. For your convenience, whenever you're ready. You know, not being pushed to a time schedule. Whenever you're ready, you take your courses online to become a troll. You know, at trolluniversity.com.
My
own copyright to that name, so don't try to copy it.
Hey, Ron, did you get that article I sent you? I sent you a couple of articles.
Did you send them to my email?
Yeah.
No, I don't read my email that much.
I send him 100 things.
I sent you about a win. It was a win, a court win for Christians against the Muslims here in the U.S.
Oh, great.
Unbelievable. And
really?
Yeah, check this out. I mean, there must be something in there. There was something that I read in there that I went, Ron's going to want to see that. But they ended up, I guess the Muslims, whatever you pronounce it, ended up paying court costs. It cost them money. And the court sided with the Christians. They think they're running the show.
Cool.
And they got to work the system against, boy, it doesn't. Interesting, huh?
Dearborn, Michigan. I don't need that pop up.
I'm sorry, y'all. Golf Dogs, I did see that Joan Rivers was in the hospital, that she had had a cardiac arrest, and that she was placed in a medical coma.
She's what, 80-something years old now?
Yeah.
81. I didn't realize that she was up there like that.
Well, she had a lot of plastic surgery.
Oh, she's
on
life support? I hope that she gets well soon.
I thought they said something about that she was stable. I didn't know that she was in a coma now.
Yeah, I see where they had put her on. Okay, now see, maybe I'm getting things twisted, but I thought that they had said she was in a medical-induced coma. Iggy's mom just put a very interesting link in. Maryland sheriffs to feds, try and take our guns and you'll get a civil war. Lord, I hope not.
When did this come out? August 30th. Yeah, I don't know how they're going to deal with it, because a lot of the sheriffs nationwide, they don't share the same agenda that a lot of the appointed law enforcement, the ones appointed by the political system, they don't share a lot of the same beliefs and look at things the same way. They're realistic about it. They were elected by the people, and they represent the people, and they swore an oath on the Constitution. They take it seriously. Lucky for us, the majority of them. Like anything else, even in law enforcement, I'm sure there are some of them out there that we'd rather see replaced. But
yeah. I don't know, folks.
Good for him. I'm sure quietly the federal government will look for ways to defund him and to strip him of everything he has and to make him get him out of there once they know that, okay, this guy's not going to work with us. This is an enemy. Take him out. That's how they work. Quietly behind the curtain. Give it time. We have time. Nail this one. So,
yep, make it look natural.
Yep.
Oh, it's car accident, airplane crash, something like that.
And then another thing, speaking of natural.
Okay, excuse me, y'all. I'm sorry, Michael.
Yeah, well.
Mike.
Yep.
Golf asked for prayers for his mother. Her third day is in the hospital. So everyone, please pray for Golf's mother.
Absolutely. Sorry to hear that, man. Bless her heart. Bless her heart.
Sorry to hear that, Golf.
Yes, by Jesus' stripes, she is healed. You know, healing will come to her body and manifest itself very soon and very quickly.
Yeah. Well, Ron, I thought of another thing for you.
Thank you.
When you were talking of, I mean, with everything you do with the electricity and everything else, do you see this? This thing is pretty cool. It's a natural swimming pool that doesn't use chemicals or anything else. This guy designs them. And even the pump, or the circulating pump, is solar driven.
Right.
It's solar powered.
Oh, yeah.
He makes the swimming pools where they look natural. It looks like a pond in your backyard. So that apparently the plants, the whatever he has, the lily pads and everything else, act as a filtration to keep down the algae and everything.
Right.
And you don't have to put chemicals in anything, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that.
Is that neat or what?
That's very cool. Absolutely.
But if you get a chance, save that link, watch the video of how he builds them, and it's very simple, and they're cheap to build. Man, if I had the land and the room, I'd do so. I wouldn't mind doing something like that.
You know, you could do the same thing if you had a spa. You pump the water through an ultraviolet light.
Yeah.
No algae problem. Then you wouldn't have to use the chlorine. People don't think about that.
Yeah, you're right.
Matter of fact, I got a spot in the back of my property. I think I'm going to dig up for a pond. I got a big spot back there I could really build real nice, all clay bottom, dirt, you know.
Well, take a look at that guy's stuff. I mean, I don't know if he charges for the plans or whatever, but shit, instead of just a pond, you could have something, you could have a swimming pool.
Well, yeah. Oh, absolutely. But I got major lakes around here. I don't really need this.
Yeah. Oh, you're lucky.
I mean, I got a pond out here, but nothing to swim in.
You know,
yeah, this would be cool to look. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to bookmark it and keep it.
There was a biker that I knew.
Too.
There was a biker that I knew that inherited his mother's house, and the house was built in the 1700s. He showed me in the beams where the beams were marked in Roman numerals, carved into them to match up the. I mean, talk about old school. But you know how they built back then; it was precise.
Oh yeah.
And these things were. It was a mill. Originally, it was a mill house, and it was built. The beams and everything were chestnut. It was really nice. But anyways, when he inherited it. He started making alterations to it within reason. He wasn't destroying anything. He was building on using what was there. And the code enforcement for the town came down on him, made his life hell. And this guy he was a biker. And one day I saw him and I said, what happened with you and the code enforcement? And he said, I ran into him out in the back roads and we had a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Discussion? What do you mean you ran into him? He said, I grabbed him out of the car and I explained to him that if he's not going to let me live my life the way I want to, why should I let him live his?
Oh, my.
That sounds like a fair plan.
And he said, ever since then, he left me alone. And he said, we've got an understanding. It worked out fine. I have no problems now. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
That's the way you got to do it, man. I'm telling you.
You got to be kidding me. What are you doing? It doesn't work like that. This is Hollywood. He said, no, I was honest with him. And he knew I was honest. And holy shit. It worked. It worked. They left him alone. He built his own pond on his property. They didn't touch him. They just left him alone. I don't know. I guess they figured, do we really need to deal with this?
Well, do they want to get one for a lawsuit is what they want. You know what I mean?
Mm-mm.
Probably.
Okay, listen.
There again, probably just,
I'm getting ready.
Probably don't want to get killed either.
Yeah.
If you get two things against them. One lawsuit, second die. What do you want? Which way do you want to go with this?
Yep.
Listen, I'm getting ready to bring in a special person, but we have to have an introduction for them first. Yes, so listen, y'all.
Okay.
I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, if you don't leave me alone, you're going to have to send me home, because I'm about to whip somebody's ass. I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, if you don't leave me alone, you're going to have to send me home, because I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
Hello, Georgia Firefox News.
Okay, what
George.
I deserve
online.
I just had to give you a special introduction.
And what did I do to deserve that introduction?
Everyone loves that song.
I know another song they love too, but I always thought that would have been a better introduction. Somehow I get a feeling it's just going to be one of those nights.
Hello, everybody.
Had to make it a special introduction to let people know you were here. And for those that don't know, that song is sung by George of Firefox News Online.
Oh, wait a minute. The one you just
Prime
played?
Primetime. Part-time.
The song you just played, I didn't do that.
No?
No, I did not do that.
I found that on
YouTube one day.
Oh.
No, the one I did is the one that you really like.
Oh, the I-95 song.
Mm-hmm. That one
yes,
I did.
Yes, I love the I-95 song.
No, I'm no. No. I didn't do it.
Are you trying to back away from that song now, George?
From which song? The one you just played?
Yeah.
No, I'm being honest. I didn't do it. You know, I can't take credit for something I didn't do.
Look, my son told me he was going to make that his ringtone. And I told him, I said, Lord, child, don't you dare. You be in the wrong place and you play that song and...
Oh, for crying out loud.
I have a ringtone of mine that people didn't like in public. It would go off like a warning alarm, you know, ring, 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 like that.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, I remember
full,
hearing that.
Full sitter alert. Mm. You know, people hate that one.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
You see, I have to choose my ringtones carefully, because you know, it stands to reason that if I'm going to pick If I'm going to pick a ringtone, I mean, I could have picked this one.
You did?
Said
what? 100.
But I figured, nah, that's too simple. That's too simple.
I mean, you can put no time on it.
So I could have gone with this. So, I mean,
that's
being,
nice.
Being
I like
full
that.
Service, I could have gone with that.
I would give that to my nephew.
Tell your parents if they want ringtones like that. There's a an app that's for both the Android phone and for the iPhone. And
okay. Well, George, you have to send me the link, please.
Yeah. They can look at. I got
what
this
is that noise?
Google Play. It's called Zedge. Zedge. It's a ring. It's got a whole bunch of ringtones, wallpapers, notification tones. I mean, great stuff.
Okay. Okay, Gunslinger, let me know when you're done, because I muted you for a moment so you can take care of your background noise. I didn't know if you were busy cooking or... maybe it's not you. Okay, Mike, is that you?
I don't hear no noise.
I've had it muted, so it wasn't me.
Yeah, I muted Gunslinger, but then I was still hearing it.
No, I'll mute myself again. Watch.
No, it stopped now. It's done.
Gunslinger,
you're back. I'm sorry. I don't hear it now.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Of course, this one, I don't want to offend anybody, but this one is from Full Metal Jacket.
Never heard of it.
The movie is called Full Metal Jacket. It's a Vietnam-era type of movie.
Oh, I never saw it. What is that?
But this is what I have. I could have chose this, too.
I'll call you, Private.
Shit that high. You trying to squeeze an inch in on me somewhere? Huh? Sir, no, sir. Four
bullshit. It looks to me like the best part of you ran down the crack of your mama's ass and ended up as a brown stain on the mattress.
Oh,
I think
my.
You've been cheated. Where in hell are you from anyway, Private? Sir, Texas, sir! Holy dog shit, Texas. Only steers and queers come from Texas, Private Cowboy. And you don't much look like a steer to me, so that kind of narrows it down.
Now
wow.
The voice you just heard was R. Lee Ermey. He's an actor, and he was, before he became an actor, he was actually a Marine Corps drill instructor. He was the technical advisor for the movie Full Metal Jacket. But when the actor that was going to play the drill instructor, something happened with him. I don't remember the circumstances now, but what had happened was the director went to him and said, do you think you could do this? And sure enough, not only did he play it, he played it close to the vest of the way the drill instructors were during the Vietnam conflict. So everything that he did was right down the middle. I mean, what you just heard, that's the way a drill instructor would have talked to you in the barracks back in the late 60s. And they weren't polite about it. I'll tell you that right now. There was no such thing as political correctness at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, let me put it this way. I do have this one for that I set as a special ringtone for my brother.
An idiot is attempting to reach you on your cellular device.
Yeah, I got
An
that
idiot
one.
Is attempting to reach you on your cellular device.
I made that one.
I like that.
I grabbed that one for my brother. I figured, what the hell, you know?
I like that.
but you know what? I still say this is my favorite of all.
What's up, Jack? Hey, you know your cell phone is ringing?
I say your cell phone is ringing, sir. I say your cell phone, I say it's ringing, sir. You might want to answer it.
Your cell phone's ringing, George.
I love that one.
I'm going to keep that one on.
No, see, that's the one that he made for me, except for it says Antoinette. And I love that one.
Yes, I made one for Antoinette. I figured, you know, she asked for it. It took me a while to make it, but I made it. I sent it to her.
And I love it.
And I am very pleased.
Yes, I am too.
I don't use a ringer much myself, personally.
You see, my cell phone hardly rings because I don't use it.
I have the ultimate ringtone, Ron. I do have the ultimate ringtone. I don't know if I can send it to you, but I can sure try. Let me see here. Let me see if I can find it here. Let me see. Well, actually, there's two. This one.
Answer the phone or I'm whooping your ass. Answer the phone or I'm whooping your ass. I'm serious.
That one,
if you don't answer that damn phone, I'm coming down here and kicking your ass so hard you had to clear your throat before you fart. Answer the daggone phone.
Oh, send that to me.
Yep,
I have to send that to my sons. I have to send that to my sons.
Well,
they would love that.
You're not dredge, man.
That's one,
yeah.
But the one I'm actually thinking of, and again, I'm going to apologize in advance because it is a little risky, but I got to find it here. Now, doggone it, where'd it go?
Thanks for
I got so many
that.
Of these ringtones. I got so many ringtones on here. It's not even funny.
Oh, thanks, Ant.
Come on, now where is it? I know it's here somewhere.
What's that,
Ron? I didn't lose it.
Yeah, I see all the chat you're talking.
Hello, infidel. Infidel, phone ringing. Yes, infidel. Pick up the phone. It could be a alarm calling. Oh, pick up the phone before it blows up.
I got rid of that one.
Yeah,
I used to have that one. That was an old one. That was years ago.
Yeah, that's a funny one, though.
Yeah. That's the one that went off on me when I was in the 7-Eleven, and they just stared at me. Nobody said a word. I just got out of there quick. They didn't say anything. I didn't say shit. I just took my change and walked out.
Well, I'll be doggone. I think I know where it is, and
thank you, brother. I will
be
making. Thank you.
George?
Yes?
Iggy's mom asked, please send her that. She said she loves it.
Which one, Iggy? I went through a few of them. The Idiot Is Calling, the Redneck one. Which one?
Did you want the Arab? I just put the Arab one in there.
No, I'm not going to touch that one, Mike.
Oh, that's funny. Come on.
Yeah, it's funny, but I don't...
Answer the phone. Could be Allah calling. That's it right there. I gave it to you.
That was Mike, not
no,
me.
No, I'm a Christian. Yeah. I'm not going to...
Well, so is that. That's making fun of it. No, she's laughing her head off. She likes that one.
It's not a ringtone. It's a notification tone, but it can be used as a ringtone, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I used it as a ringtone on my phone.
No, I'm talking about the one I'm about to share with you. This is Samuel L. Jackson.
I like him.
I'm asking you a goddamn thing.
I don't think I want to send that to anybody. That's a little too much.
Tear the house up.
Okay.
But where is it here? Then there's I could send people this one.
Oh, son of a bitch! Son of a bitch! Son of a bitch! Son of a bitch! Gun! You thought I was gonna say son of a bitch, didn't you?
Oh my!
Yeah, that's a cool one.
That's a ringtone and a notification tone.
Oh my goodness!
So I forgot
yeah,
which one.
Yeah, you're the first one. The one recording got a bunch of kids just got out of church. Your phone goes off with that. You know what I mean?
I don't like
think
that one either, Di.
No, the one that I had actually going off when I was in church one time. Let me see if it's in here. The one I had go off when I was in church one time. I swear I did not plan on it, and it just really, you know, kind of resonated, especially when the preacher came up to me afterwards and said, what did you have for breakfast this morning, George? I said, I don't know why. And then all of a sudden, my phone went off, and it did this.
The 21 Falcon Salute.
The 21 fart gun salute.
Oh my goodness!
So
wow!
Just imagine where the preacher was going when he asked me that question. but hey, I got one here for all you beer drinkers, and for a recovering alcoholic to have this one is really really bad. But and I had this on when I was in an AA meeting once.
Well,
I was in an AA meeting when that one went off.
That's nice.
My sponsor immediately told me to change my ringtone.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beer Hunter has a complaint against me, Ron. So I'm suggesting that he takes it up with you.
Do what?
He has a complaint against me.
Who does?
So I'm telling him to direct it to you.
Who the hell are you talking about?
Beer Hunter.
What's the problem?
In the chat room.
Yes. I booted him before.
Okay, so?
All
well,
right,
you booted
well,
Iggy's mom by accident, too.
Yes, and Iggy's mom was truly an accident. Beer Hunter I probably did intentionally. From what I'm saying tonight, apparently I did, but, you know what I mean? If you have a problem with it, take it up with Ron.
Well, you're...
But Iggy's mom
was
truly an accident.
Did Beer Hunter do something he shouldn't have done on the show and got kicked? I mean, that happens. People do whack out in the show. We let them come back. They keep up, and we completely crucified. but you got me all got me lost. I'm entirely lost on the subject. I know Iggy Mom, she was a victim of circumstances. Sorry about that. It happens, man. I mean, we did a troll attack at the same time, so that was an accident, really wasn't meant to be.
You
started to kick so fast because you didn't want him to jump out.
I felt so bad that night when I kicked Iggy. Oh, God, that just hurt my pride so bad. I hurt my feelings and hurt my heart. I was just so...
Well, I felt so bad.
But
like
I'm
that.
Glad she came back in because she came back in under another name and she let me know it was her, and I was so relieved.
The fact that these idiot trolls, you know, do this stuff, I've actually come down with a final analysis of the trolls.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, they are nothing but a bunch of nerd glasses wearing, living in their mom's basement sleeping, goofballs and idiots that don't have the common sense God gave them in the first place.
And the boy gets a cigar.
What?
Well, I always liked Groucho Marx. I thought you'd like that. You hit it right on the nose.
We had Bat Fink and Karate.
Oh,
and I have a song for y'all.
I remember
karate.
That cartoon.
Wait a minute.
That's going back a few decades.
Bat Fink? I haven't heard of that in a long time.
Tell me about it.
Okay, I have one for y'all. Bear may want to get in on this one, too.
And if you don't know what song...
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with chopping them down. It's an ancient Chinese art, and everybody
Aw, see, Bad Fink and Karate. Now, why you have to be an old troll? Can you at least say you're a retired troll? I was welcoming you. Fifty is still young. I'm in my 50s. We're still young. A half a century, but it's a lot of people that didn't make it to be where we are. So keep that in mind. Well, I'm not an old fart. Just enjoy the time that you have.
I have something bad to say about that.
What's
that? Age of 50, you get to the age of 50 and become an AARP member, you're old. So let's know.
You know, Ron Ruck, I truly hope you make it to be 50.
I don't.
You better.
Well, I have a year and a half left to go then. Then I will be old. I will be with you. I shall join you.
Yeah, but I'll be out of my 50s then. Oh, you said a year and a half?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll still be in my 50s.
See, told you. I catch up.
No, you'll never catch up.
Nah, probably not. I told a friend about one time, he's hitting 60 years old. I said, well, that's cool. I always wanted to say I met Moses. That pissed him off.
Look, being 50 in your 50s, you're seasoned.
Yeah, you are.
See, and I've seen a lot in my 50 years.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of changes in the world. Good and bad.
More bad than good, though.
Yeah, well, season with one foot in the grave. Yeah, but that's okay. I have no problems with that.
Hey, Antoinette.
I do not fear death.
Well, Antoinette, you know that old
saying. See, I have a life insurance policy with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I do not fear death.
Well, Antoinette, I'll put it to you like this. There's an old saying that I often think about. There are those with one foot in the grave and the other on the banana peel.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I don't have one foot in the grave and the other on the banana peel. It's just the banana peel.
Yeah, the banana peel is a pretty slippery thing.
And that's
what I would love that. That would make the perfect wife. Perfect wife, mm-hmm. One foot in the grave.
Well, you know, technically, from the time you take your first breath, you always have a foot in the grave. Because death can come at any time.
Well, yeah. I mean, a friend of mine years ago said to me, George, just remember this simple phrase. We are born to die.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I said, wait a minute. And this was a pastor of a church that I attended for a while. And I said, Pastor, wait a minute. We are born to die. That's a rather odd thing to say to somebody attending the church here. He goes, no, George, think about it for a moment. You know, he says, you, okay. Think of it in Star Trek terms. I said, oh, here we go. Now you're going to get into my favorite TV show, aren't you? And he goes, yes, I am. He says, the guy with the red shirt on, was born.
I have
to
no
die.
Idea who you're talking
Every
about.
Every red shirt in Star Trek dies, with the exception of Scotty.
Okay.
So if there's an actor wearing a red shirt on a Star Trek episode, you know he's going to die. And I looked at the pastor and I said, okay, I understand the analogy, but the phrase that you said initially still doesn't, you know, maybe I'm missing something here. He goes, well, George, think about it. We are born into this world.
Mm-hmm.
We are raised by our parents, hopefully with good values and so forth. We live, we love, we grow, and ultimately life ends. Thus, we are born to die. When he got done explaining that, I was like, thanks, Pastor. I didn't need to be depressed. All the other parishioners that were there were sitting there laughing their heads off. And I'm like, wait a minute. You folks laugh. I'm not kidding. I'll be depressed all day thinking about this now. And they started laughing even harder. And the pastor goes, you know, George, next Sunday I've got a great idea for you. You seem to be able to reach people with humor. You're going to do the sermon next Sunday. What?
Oh, my.
He goes, and you're not backing out of it. You can't back out of it. I said, watch me. Well, the following Sunday I did. And the first thing I said was, ahem, is this thing on? Okay, so I see it's on, and you're all looking at me like, yes, yes, yes. Now I can safely say, no. Okay, enough with the humor, and then I went into what I was going to talk about that day. At the end, I turned to everybody and said, always remember this and never forget. God made us all different. God made us all with a sense of humor. So take this in the kind, gentle sense it is intended. Go out and have a great big belly laugh and say to the highest hills, today God blessed me with laughter.
Yeah.
And at the very least, if you can't laugh today, turn around and see if you can put a smile on someone else's face and make them laugh, because that will help that person. And helping people is what we're supposed to do. Okay,
yeah.
Now I've helped you. Now you can help me get off of this platform before I say something and my tongue starts blocking the eye teeth and I can't see what I'm saying. As soon as I said that, for some stupid reason, they started laughing even harder.
You know what my first trial sermon was on? You know how you have to do your trial sermon? And my first trial sermon was on, do you know what time it is?
Interesting topic for a trial sermon. Believe it or not, that Sunday was my trial sermon, and the subject I chose, oddly enough, mm-hmm. was on humor. And how humor and God go hand in hand. After church that day, people came up to me and said, you know, we never thought of how humor and spreading the gospel can work so well. I said, you'd be surprised.
Most people
don't realize that humor makes everything more receptive.
Yes.
I haven't done that since, and I am an ordained minister through the Universal Life Church. I've had people say to me, so why don't you go and get a church started? Could you picture a 300-pound guy with long hair down past his shoulders walking into standing up at a pulpit going, I see. Wait a minute, I got to put my glasses on. I can't see nothing without those.
Or better yet.
Oh, Lord, bless this thy hand grenade, that with it thou mayst blow thy enemies to tiny bits in thy mercy.
I mean, the military connection you have, George, that would be fitting.
Okay.
That sounds more like it.
Yeah, well, see, mine was right on time. It was, you know, do you know what time it is? You know, the times that we're living in, you know, of course, this was, Lord, back in 2005. But the times that we're living in, and, you know, everyone, you know, they're working, they're trying to achieve, to get a lot of things or, you know, whatever. You know, everyone has their own agenda for their family that they're trying to do. But do you realize that when it's time to leave this earth, you see, all that's going to be taken. You know, it's not going to be taken. You're going to be taken, and that stuff remains. Okay, who takes care of it? You know, the same love and affection and everything that you have for it, is someone going to take care of it like you do? And if we're all raptured up, then the people that are left behind is just going to be, you know, rummaged through. You know, you're saving up these goods and everything, but are you enjoying life? Or are you just surviving? You know, so do you know what time it is?
Very, very,
you know, where are your riches being served at? You know, are you saving your riches and for up in heaven? Are you storing your treasures there? Or are you storing your treasures here on earth that you cannot take with you? Where's your heart at? You know, do you know what time it is? And that was what my first sermon was on.
That's a good point. No, that's a good point.
No, it is. It's a very good point. See, a lot of times, and you know, I don't talk about this very often, but a lot of times I look back on the day I nearly ended up meeting my maker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in 1982, I was assaulted and left for dead.
Oh, my.
My spleen ruptured 24 hours later after the assault.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got up off the ground, I was a mess. I was bleeding. I was cut up pretty bad. I was in a lot of pain. I went down to the police station. They laughed me right out of the building, thinking I was drunk. So I turn around. I go home. At the time, I was staying with my folks. And my mother tried to get my father to take me to the hospital, but he got all grouchy and everything and just stormed into his bedroom. So my mother took me to the hospital by taxi. They did all the x-rays and everything and couldn't find anything. And they just told me, you know, just take it easy tomorrow, you know, for the next 24 hours. Well, I took a nice slow walk up to a cousin's house, talked with him for a little while, and then went back home, figure I'll make a sandwich and relax. I go to get the silverware, I start doubling up in pain. Mom calls the ambulance. I end up in the emergency room. All the doctor did was take two fingers, his pointing and middle finger, and press right on the side where the spleen is supposed to be. I damn near jumped on that gurney. All I heard the doctor before I passed out was, "Get this man into surgery now." He knew my spleen was gone.
Oh, no.
When I got out of surgery, they told my mother I had a 50-50 chance of survival.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I was heavily medicated, I woke up in the recovery room just long enough to ask my mother, Mom, am I going to die? She looked at me, smiled, and said, no, George, go back to sleep. And that's what I did, too. I took Mom's, when Mom said, no, George, go back to sleep, I went back to sleep. But I spent so much time in that hospital as a result that, you know, I didn't know if I was going to live or not.
Mm-hmm.
They actually called in a priest to administer last rites because mm-hmm. I was with the Episcopal Church at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The irony of it is, I didn't meet my maker, obviously, but I came dangerously close. So I went to the rector of the church at the time, and I said, you know, I know why I'm still, I know I'm alive, and I guess God in a way was not ready for me because he doesn't know what to make of me half the time.
Yeah.
And the priest just looked at me, smiled, and said, "Oh, he knows what to make of you, George."
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely does. There's just one thing. And I said, really, what's that? He goes, you have the most warped sense of humor I've ever seen, and that's probably why God scratches his head wondering, when is he going to stop telling jokes?
No.
So he says to me, look, God wasn't ready for you because he still got something for you to do down here.
That's right.
See, God has a sense of humor.
That's what I keep saying at AA meetings.
I tell
too.
People all the time. No, did you ever see the real explanation, the true explanation on how, you know, the scene, The Last Supper, how that painting was done? Do you remember seeing that?
No.
Here it is, right here. I just put it up.
I'm afraid
that explains really what the story was behind it.
Oh, from History of the World Part One.
Well,
that's how it happened. Mel Brooks is the waiter, and he goes in trying to take the order. Did you ever see that?
Advertisements, really?
Oh, get rid of the advertisements.
Tell me about it.
Antoinette, did you ever see that video?
No, I haven't.
Here we go.
Oh, you'd enjoy it. You can click on it. It's a safe YouTube one.
Oh, I...
It's funny. It is pretty funny.
Mel
Brooks is a waiter, and he goes into the Last Supper to get their order.
Oh, my. Okay.
Yeah. And Leonardo da Vinci goes in to do a portrait. I don't know how Mel Brooks dreams that stuff up, boy.
Some people are very talented with that. No, but that's their gift.
Yep, it really is.
Some people are, you know, people have different gifts. And that, I'm going to send it to myself.
But a lot of it, I think he's the one. It was out of that was out of History of the World, wasn't it? Where he came up with the thing about the Ten Commandments. Yeah, that was it.
I don't know. You're asking me.
Yeah, that was the Old Testament.
It is.
Yep, that's it. Here's the clip right here for that, Antoinette. We're going to change your whole outlook on religion. Look at this. God's going to yell at you when you get up there and meet him. He said you will listen to Mike and George and Ron and all the rest of them. Now look what happened.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm sending this one to me first.
Okay.
I don't know about you sometimes, Mike.
Oh, I love History of the World's one of my favorites. I love that.
Hey, listen. Some of my favorite Mel Blanc?
Mel Blanc?
Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks. Thank you. Why did I say Mel Blanc? I don't know why I said Mel Blanc. Oh, well. Anyway. Some of my favorite Mel Brooks films are like Spaceballs, Young Frankenstein, especially Young Frankenstein, because to see that have Frau Brücker,
yeah,
or
the horses,
like yeah, okay,
yep.
There is the one film that I thought was really, really cool, even though some of you may say, oh, well, that's a gay movie. No, it's not. Robin Hood, Men in Tights. Especially when Patrick Stewart plays the king. Captain Jean-Luc Picard himself.
Which one was that?
Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah, I remember that. I forgot about that movie. I haven't thought of that in a while. I don't think it was as big hit as the other ones he had, like Blazing Saddles and History of the World.
I have Blazing Saddles in my computer.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Every so often, when I need a really good laugh,
yep,
I fast forward right to the fart scene.
Yeah, but the kids don't know. They don't know these movies. Antoinette, you probably never even saw it either. He sort of rewrites history with a lot of this stuff.
Wait a minute.
It's hysterical.
Hold on a second, Mike. What's the matter, Antoinette?
She never saw that movie, so she doesn't know.
No, I never saw it.
Trust me when I say you should catch it. You should try and find it and watch it. Blazing Saddles is a classic of Mel Brooks.
But one of the scenes, they're all gathered around the fire and eating pork and beans. Excuse me, gentlemen. Bear Hunter, we don't use the B word in here, okay? So please refrain from that. Thank you. Okay, I'm sorry.
So during the course of the movie, the guys are all gathered, all these guys are gathered around a fire at their encampment,
mm-hmm,
right? And they're eating pork and beans. Now, of course, what happens when people eat beans? You know,
they get gas.
And, of course, they were quite gassy. They were eating a lot of beans. Well, trust me when I say, every time I need a really good laugh, I go to the fart scene.
Righty then.
You got to see it to know what I'm talking about. Trust me.
Yeah, yep.
Now, Ron Reck put a link in the chat room. Why do I have it?
Yes, I'm pulling it out.
Top 10 Monty Python movie moments.
Yep.
Well, okay. Let me see what this is. I got a look. Come on. Yeah, watchingmojo.com, right. Right.
That's golf stuff, right?
Okay.
Oh, Lordy.
I'll have to watch that later.
Yeah, it's kind of long, ain't it?
Now, here's a link from...
Yeah, I love Monty Python. Monty Python's great.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he found the Blazing Saddles fart scene. Thank you, Batfink.
Oh, my goodness.
Click on the link that Batfink posted, Antoinette. You'll understand what I'm talking about now.
It's the Old West, Antoinette.
Yeah, I remember Blazing Saddles.
You saw the movie?
But I don't think I've seen it with... I seen an old black and white one, I believe, or something.
No, it was in color.
In the 70s?
No.
No.
It was in color.
Okay,
wasn't there
another old Blazing Saddles?
No, I don't think so.
Was there another one?
Only one.
Click on it. You're going to see the cowboys all sitting around the fire.
I've never seen one. Didn't it have Cleveland Little in it?
Yeah, Cleveland Little. Right. He's an excellent actor.
Maybe it was funny. I don't know. I was young then. Because I remember with my parents, we went to go see that. We went to the drive-in. See, that's when they had drive-ins.
Yep.
I've got two drive-ins where I live.
Do you?
Yes.
One
not far from my house, in fact. It's like maybe a couple of miles away.
Yep.
It's
Hyde Park.
Yeah, right in Hyde Park.
Yeah, right across from Roosevelt's Franklin's home.
Yeah.
FDR's house. There's a right across the street.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay.
Let me tell you something. They always show a double feature.
Okay.
Yep.
I went there and saw two movies for the price of one, and I was a happy camper. God, I missed
them. The last time I've been to the drive-in, Lord, I believe it was in the 80s. It was in the 80s, and then they closed it, and that's what I said. I didn't think there was any more drive-ins. Oh, well. What?
Yeah.
I'm not coming to New York to go to the drive-in, though. I'm not coming to Missouri for the drive-in.
Hey, we're the rated number third worst state to ever live in. I heard that rating yesterday. Missouri is the third worst state to live in the United States. We're the third worst.
Missouri is? Who's the worst? New York?
I don't know. I didn't catch the person.
No, I don't know. Oh, so the Show Me State is not a good state to live in?
I guess not. Let me try to find the link on that. Link on that. Excuse me. It'll be a minute.
Sorry. Proper Di, she loves the Three Stooges.
That's good.
Well, one thing's for sure, you know, you're gonna find a favorite video or a favorite movie, you know, of some type that's gonna resonate with you.
Yes. Yeah, that it just sticks with you. That's true.
With me, some of the old classics that I like around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
White Christmas with Bing Crosby and. It's a Wonderful
Christmas
Life.
Christmas on 34th Street.
I have that too.
The Miracle on 34th Street. I love that one.
The original, though, not the remix.
Yes, the original, the black and white one.
Mm-hmm.
The one in black and white. I love it. I like the old black and white movies.
Me too. I'm a traditional type of moviegoer. You know, it comes right down to it because, you know. That's when movies, you know, were more, you know, were
they
more
had
entertaining.
Meaning. Yes.
Thank you. Yes, they do.
Yes,
they did have meaning.
Yes, and I truly loved them. They just feel, I guess the nostalgia and everything, it just, yeah, you know, it just seems like this is what it's supposed to look like. You know? And
well,
I love the black and white movies.
Right. Got a caller on the board.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't even checking.
832. Go ahead, 832. You're on
That's
the air.
That's Joel.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What am I thinking?
I thought I'm talking Joel movies.
Yeah, why can't I remember?
I'm sick and tired of hearing whenever I go to my aunt's house, you know, she's an elderly lady. She'll tell me, would you put Annie's Got Your Gun, Annie Get Your Gun in the player for me? You know, that's some old black and white, or I guess it's black and white. Some old movie. She loves this show, and
what's it called?
She remembers
Annie
Get Your Gun or something like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She loves that show, and I've got to put it in the video because she don't know how to operate it. So I got to put it in there and get it started for her, and then I leave. And she watches it like, you know, once or twice a month. She watches the show all the time. I mean, it's just something that just brings her back, you know, takes her back to the day or something like that. I don't know. But I want to say,
cool.
Antoinette showed up at my show tonight an hour late.
I'm sorry.
And,
you didn't send me the link. I gave you my email address
yeah,
for you to
you're right,
send
you're right,
me the
I
link,
didn't.
And you didn't.
You're right, I didn't. And I had so much going on today. I couldn't get a hold of Dorothy at first on the phone to make sure she was even going to be there. And I called once, left her a message, called back a little bit later, and she answered. And you know how when you get Dorothy on the phone, she thinks she's on the radio live. And I said, no, we're, you know, we're not on the radio. This just, and she just takes off. And I'm saying, you know, just hold on, you know, save that for later. You know, save that for later. And then I brought her on. Of course, she's very controversial. And you've got to, at the time, so when she came in, we had a chat room with 30-something people in there. And she came in, and people started dropping like flies from what they were hearing. And even some of my loyal, you know, our loyal listeners were in there, and they were dropping off. So I tried to switch directions with her and grab another topic. And she did. She can take any topic and run with it. But she swung back around to the other topic, and you know, and I thought, oh Lord, here we go again. And we dropped down to like 18 people in the chat room, and I said, well,
wow.
I told Brian, I said, I don't know what we're going to do. I said, we got a lot of the few that were left were, you know, good friends that were hanging in there, but we lost a lot of people, and there's actually a couple of them I've got issues with, and I'll take that up in the next few days from what they said in the chat room. Well, thank God she couldn't sit there and see the chat room. She wasn't looking at the chat room. She was just on the phone. But she's a good guest, and Iggy came in and kind of bailed us out trying to somehow, because we had another guest. We had two guests, and the other guest was a late guest that y'all heard on the second hour.
Yes, he was excellent. I really enjoyed him.
He had a terrible phone connection. It's the only thing me and Brian had talked about since then. And he said he lived in a hole out in the middle of nowhere, and Brian told me that is correct. He lives out in the middle of nowhere, and his phone connection is terrible out there. But other than that, yeah, he was a pretty good speaker. We'll be getting him back soon. And the last part of y'all show, I've been in a Twitter battle with atheists and commies over on we're trying to set up a show with Logan's Warning, Christopher Logan. He's kind of been a regular to our show. He actually draws our biggest crowds, and we're trying to get him set up with another. He wants to confront them. They will not debate him in public. They will not, you know, we try to set up these shows, and they never show up, and we just got to kind of wing it from that point on. So we got a guy tonight that said, I'll come in, and I'll debate you, and next thing you know, he's changing his words, and, you know, I mean, this is the way the far left do, you know, because, you know, when they argue with us, they don't argue with facts. They want to come at you with propaganda and lies, and, When you try to call them out on the carpet about it, whenever they really get desperate, they just start calling names, and they were doing that on Twitter tonight, just calling names. You know, when they start using foul language, cussing at you, you know you've just hit a button.
Yeah, they rely on the insults.
Yeah, they have nothing else. But they're done. They can't come up with any facts. They just bam. Let me cuss this guy out and see if I can get away with it before they get rid of me.
They think that'll make you mad, and that'll turn the argument. So then they could say, "See, look at you now. Why are you yelling? What's the matter with you?"
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all a big game to them. It's a sport.
Lord, I'm so sorry. I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Golf dog. I want to ask you. Now, I know that you're a Christian.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, my question is, as being Christians, we know what the Bible says. We know all these things are going to take place. Now, also, as not only being a Christian, but also as a person that, as they say, you're awake. You know, we know the whole political scheme is a scheme. It's, you know, it's a game.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't understand buying into the left and right paradigm, you know, because we know that the devil controls it all.
So I agree with you, and you know, I talk about that a lot. When I say far left, far right, I'm trying to you know, when most people we're talking to, Antoinette, don't understand it like I do and like you do and anybody that looks at it or views it the way we do. So when you say far left, you're talking about political far left, political far right. But the fact is, it's all the same political system. I agree with that.
Yes.
But, you know, a lot of people don't comprehend that. A lot of people have no clue.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, when you say that, a lot of people just, you know, they're like, oh, you know, they're awesome. They become unplugged. that you lose them because they don't. They say, "Oh, what are these guys talking about?" It's all the same thing. Yeah, we're talking about a new world order type thing, and when you talk about that, people think these are nuts. These guys are crazy. But the fact is, this ain't crazy. This is the truth. And if you're a Christian and you believe in the Bible, and if you've read the Bible, all this stuff going around you today has been already talked about right there in that book. You know,
yeah.
It's just a matter of reading that book and understanding it. You know, it is the same thing. I had another discussion earlier, you know, about the Quran. The same thing. If you read the Quran and you understand the Quran, and I'm not saying that I do and I understand the Quran completely, but I know many friends that do and have interpreted it. And let me tell you what, once a Muslim, if you get them to sit there and understand the Quran, how can they condone what it says? Because that's all about killing. It's all about hate. You know, the Bible doesn't talk about that.
If we look at our Old Testament,
yep.
When it came to taking land, you know, they waged war. I mean,
yep.
You know, I mean, everyone does things under their God.
Yep.
Okay? And so I understand that, you know, and it's still the system. You know, remember, Satan offered to Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. If he bowed down and did an act of worship to him. Now, if we look at kingdoms as being governments, we know all the governments around the world belongs to Satan. So what is it? It's all a game.
Exactly. It's all a game. And we're involved in it. We're part of it. The American government is all part of it and has been for years and years. It didn't just happen. This isn't something that Obama brought about. Obama might be. We don't know this yet. But I'll just take a real quick thought. Obama might be the final puppet that they needed to get into place to do this. But he's not. Mm-hmm. He didn't do all of it. It's been set up for years. Yeah, it's been going on for a long time.
Yes, it has. That it
and,
most definitely has.
The fact that Obama is your first black president, or a lot of people like to say Bill Clinton was, but just the fact that is that people like to use that as a deterrent to say, oh, you're just racist, you know, because you say that. No, you know, people were saying that about George Bush. People were saying that about Clinton. People have been saying that about every president.
I never heard anyone call George Bush a black president.
Just about Clinton, about the black president part, but I'm talking about...
Yeah, but, you know, we've had black presidents, but they were...
It's the fraud. It's the fraud they put in your face that is the government, and it's perpetuated by the media. The media is controlled by the government, more so than what people believe. And all you got to do is go back, I brought this up on the other show with the second guest, Operation Mockingbird. Google that. If you haven't ever looked at Operation Mockingbird, Google that. You'll spend hours reading there. You'll get tired and probably just get enough that you'll get frustrated. Because it's been going on since the 50s at least, maybe longer.
Yes.
But
it's been a long time. And that's where, you know, people I think have a problem with is that this didn't just happen, you know, in 2008 or whatever, you know, Obama got in. That this is something that, you know, when these people that consider themselves the Illuminati or whatever, you know, the enlightened ones, and they're not enlightened, they're really full of darkness because they're full of evil.
Right.
That they make long-term goals. You know, these demons don't even, they know they're not going to be here that long, you know, to see these things come out, you know, to be fulfilled. But they still, because they're so evil... They make these goals, and this is what we're seeing, but this is also a part of Bible prophecy.
Yep.
That, you know, this is the times in which we're living in.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to excuse myself for a moment. Ron Reck. Ron?
Ron, you're being called on the carpet. Where are you at, Ron?
Yes. Ron?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I have to step away for a second.
Okay, go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, y'all. I'll be right back.
Well, I might as well let everybody know, in observance of Labor Day holiday, customer support will be closed, but will be open at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on 9/1/14. So anyway, VTR customer service will be not around tomorrow. but I will, so as long as it still keeps
maybe
running.
That's why we don't have any trolls. The customer service is shut down.
That could be why. It might be. Hey,
yeah.
I never thought of that. You might be right. Yeah.
That's it.
That's why I come on late. That's why I come on at night. I don't, you know, I'm not a, you know, I don't like daytime. I'm not a daytime person, per se. But anyway.
Okay, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm back.
Okay, well, anyway.
Ron, I'm sorry again.
You're sorry you're back? We don't feel that way.
No, that's not what I was going
to
say. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not sorry that you're back. I'm glad you're here.
No, what I was going to say is I was sorry for interrupting.
Oh, speak the English. Don't make a mistake here, eh? What's the matter, you?
Ron, do you want to go like a half an hour in the overtime?
If I'm forced into it.
Golf,
well,
I hope your mom's okay.
Dear.
What, if you don't mind me asking,
yeah,
if, what is it? Is it, was it she an accident? Is she all right? Is it something very, very serious? What's going on with her? Golf?
Oh, I'm sorry. Say it again.
Your mom, is she? What is it that happened to her?
She fell off. She's elderly. She fell off the couch. She was laying on the couch, I guess, watching TV. She fell off the couch and she laid there. For about, I want to say a day. She says it's just a couple hours, but we couldn't get a hold of her for the longest. And she's got one of them houses. She's in a fortress.
Yeah.
And you can't tell if she's there or not. You can't tell by looking in the garage because all the windows are that glass where you can't see through.
The smoke glass.
Yeah. You can't see in. And other than knowing the combination to get in her garage, which she changes them on a regular basis, she gets that from me, I guess, or I get that from her. She changes all that the password. Well, nobody knew how to get in there, rather than the only way you could get in there was to break down the door. So, and we'd all left her messages on her phone, and I finally made my last message to her and said, Mom, you need to hurry up, because my brother and his wife were on their way down there that evening to break down the door or find a way into that house to see if she's okay. And she didn't answer me, and I talked to my aunt, which lives around the block from her. My aunt actually made a call and called me back within 5 minutes. She answered me. She said, I need help. I need to get to the hospital. And that paid for getting a door broke down. So I told her, and she's in the hospital now. She either, I don't know if she overdosed, because she's so old. She's on a bunch of medication. And I'm thinking that I was with her before. I actually stayed with her for a little while. She has got a bad habit of taking her medication more than once. You know, she thinks, oh, I didn't take it yet. She just took it, and she'll take it again. And then she gets dizzy, and she loses her balance and falls. And we're thinking that's what happened. But now, actually what they're telling her in the hospital right now, her enzymes, and I don't know much about this, her enzymes are too high, and she can't leave till they get down, whatever that's got to do.
Oh, okay. Is she taking ibuprofen or Motrin or anything like that? That you know of?
Is she? She's probably taking a whole lot more than that. Yeah. She
no,
takes
well, what, all right. Okay. What I'm specifying that for is ibuprofen and Motrin will make your balance off. It will make you dizzy, and it will also cause memory loss.
Yep. Could be
and
that.
And right, get the pill trays so that they can be filled.
Right.
And Iggy, that is a good point because my sons had to do that for me, my sons and my daughter. And then they still fuss because I don't fill them back up. But, Golf, you're a good son, and so are your brothers, because my sons are like that also with me. The whole reason why I have a cell phone is because if they can't get in touch with me, then they're ready to, you know, my son will leave work and, you know, everything, and that's the reason why you see where they come in all hours of the night and, you know, Mom, just checking on you. Are you okay? You know, I'm like, Lord, would y'all leave me alone?
Yeah, if you don't answer the phone, I guarantee you we're coming.
Yes, and mine are good for it.
Yeah, mine did the same thing. Sometimes she'll get into an attitude where she just won't answer the phone. And finally, after a couple of days, I left her a message. I said, if you don't answer the phone or call me back, I'm calling the police right now to have them kick in the door. I mean, something happened to you, so I'm... And she called me in 5 minutes. Don't you dare. You better not call the police. That's a...
And that's what I do with my mom. That's what I do with my mom. I
threaten
my mom
before.
To take your door out. When I tell my mom the cops might knock your door down, she gets her act together.
Yep. That's it.
She don't
want to
hear that. She's very, my mom is a very private person, and she likes her privacy.
My kids don't respond to me when I call them. I tell them like this. If you don't call me back for the next 10 minutes, the cops are going to be trying to get your ass. So you better test all your stuff.
Oh,
well, you know what scares me nowadays with the whole calling the cop thing? Hell, they come in and shoot first and then ask questions. You know, that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem with the cops. That scares the hell out of me.
It's scary to call the guys anymore, isn't it?
Golf, I had to get after my oldest son because he's great for this. I can be taking a bath and the phone will ring and I don't have the phone with me, and Lord, he'll hang up and he'll call right back, and then he'll call right back. And look, I fell out the bathtub trying to get to the phone.
Yeah.
You know, so then I end up hurting myself because I'm trying to get to him so that he doesn't get into a panic. Because he's left his job because of it.
Yep.
And then got stopped by a cop, and, you know, and he told the cop, he said, look, I promise I'll be right back. I've been trying to get a hold of my mother. You know, fortunately, he ran across a good cop. You know, he said, and I'll be back, and you can give me the ticket and everything else. Just please let me check on my mother. And the cop let him do it.
Good.
And my son went back to the cop, and, you know, he's like, okay, I'm back. You know, I'm sorry, I was in the wrong, but... Yeah, I had to check on my mother. And I was asleep.
Let me tell you a story.
That's the reason why I have a cell phone. I hate cell phones. But because of them, because if I walk outside and I'm in the yard and they call, then they have to make sure that I hear them. And most of the time, I don't even take the thing with me. But now since I have George ringtone, I take the phone with me. Because it says Antoinette, and then I'm like, okay, let me get the phone.
Hey, I was staying with my dad. My dad, after my divorce, my dad to let me come stay with him. He had a beach house, real nice place on the beach. And I was in there. He was gone. He was out of town, so I was kind of tending the house. And I was online that night in a chat room. It wasn't BTR. It was, this is years ago. Anyways, one of the guys in the chat room knew me personally and knew my phone number, and you know, and he knew, and I suffer from high blood pressure and I take medication. But anyways, I just made the comment, I'm not feeling good, guys. Good night. I'm going to bed, which meant I've had too much beer and I'm about to pass out. I didn't say that in the chat room. So I closed out the chat room and because he didn't get to say bye to me or anything. He thought something happened to me. I mean, this guy overreacted, and he called and this guy was in Michigan. He called which is a long way from me. I've never even met him in person, okay? He called the local police department.
Oh.
And about 2 o'clock in the morning, I hear bam, bam, bam. I think I'm being broke into. I get up, flip on the lights in my room, and take off, and the door to the kitchen is halfway already broken. You know, they're coming underneath the door. It's a metal door, so they've already pried it up halfway. And I tell the cop, I said, stop, I'll open the door. Because he told me who he was. And I open the door, and it's a cop, and then another cop, and a fireman, and a fireman. And they come in and said, we were told you might have had a heart attack. I said, what? I was asleep. I said, and you just tore my dad's door up. I was sitting here thinking, this is an expensive house.
Right.
Thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do now? You know, when my dad comes back, I'll be kicked out of here for this. You know. And anyways, I was able to secure it for the night, and they all left. And let me tell you what. That's kind of people, and this is what cops do. I mean, surely they could have found a friendlier way to get into the house, you know, other than just start. They had one of them battering rams.
Right.
You seen them on the TV shows, you know, cop shows.
Yeah.
I mean, they were coming. They were coming through that door. That door was very secure. They were going to come through it. They were going to crawl under it, you know, once they got it bent up enough. And my God, I called my dad the next day and I said, "Oh my God, you're not going to believe what happened." And he said, "Okay," and he took care of everything. He took care of everything real quick. I mean, it was all fixed within, you know, 24 hours, and brand new door was up there. And I was, I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't apologize enough. I thought, my God, it was an online chat, and I said one thing, which was, "Good night. I don't feel good." One guy said, "Oh, he's having a heart attack. Let me call the police."
I got to cut into this, you guys.
Hold on a minute. We're going overtime, so you need to call in 718-508-9813. So you better call in now, 718-508-9813. And if you want to get into the conversation, press that number 1 on your dial pad, and we'll let you in the conversation. So you better get dialing. You got like 2 minutes and 55 seconds left. Anyway, go ahead, Doug.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man.
And
no,
look, you know, when I first got sick, you know, the first time when I had the aneurysm that erupted, I fell out in front of my youngest son. And ever since then, no matter if I'm sleeping or not, he got to check me to make sure that I'm okay. And he still does, and it's been, Lord, that was 99, and so it's been 15 years. And he's still, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, he'll just show up. You know, during the day, he'll just show up. You know, I'm like, boy, when do you work? You know, how are
you
getting any work done? You know, because he, you know, I got to check on my mom, you know. And if I can complain about my back hurting and everything else, that does not bother him. But if I complain about my head hurting, I have a headache, and, you know, and he looks in my face and like, "Mom, you okay? You okay? Come on, let me take you to the hospital." I'm not going to no hospital. I'm fine. But that concern, you know, and he told me that concerns him more than my back bothering me.
Oh, yeah, of course. We start talking like about your head and things. I went to the hospital.
Yeah, but I have
with,
a headache every day. Every day of my life I have a headache. But
yeah.
It's when I complain about it, then they know that it's really, really bad, you know.
And they want to get help. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, uh-uh, because then they want to,
then they get to play with the medicines.
You're used to coping with it, and they don't understand that, because they don't go through that, you know, they feel bad for you, and they want you to get better, and, you know, it's just a thing, you know, it's what families do, it's what friends do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why I tell them all the time, you know, I am not your child. Y'all are my children. You came from me. I did not come from any of y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Antoinette, you do understand that the reason they're like that is because of they receive the same love and care and you know, from you. So they're trying to reciprocate in kind, and you know, I went through this with my mother, okay? Not before she passed away, mind you, but years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She had gone to the hospital, and I was a teenager, but I was old enough, I was like 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She had gone to the hospital for tests and everything, and the only reason she went was because I insisted. I said, "Mom, do me a favor. Think about what would you say to me if the roles were reversed right now? And it was me that was refusing to go to the hospital." And she goes, "Well, George, you're 17 years old." I said, "That's think about it, Mom. Age notwithstanding. If it were me refusing to go to the hospital, what would you say to me?" She paused for a moment, looked me straight in the eye, and said, "I'd probably tell you the same thing you're telling me right now.
get the hell out of here.
You need to do this because it's the right thing to do for your health and safety. She went to the hospital. They admitted her that day. She was in for like 2 weeks for a battery of tests. Came home, took one look at me and said, you know, I understand why you insisted I go. I really do. And she says, you know, I thank you for that. George, you showed a lot of love in pushing me to do the right thing. I said, well, Mom, isn't that what you would have done if the roles had been reversed? My grandmother was standing right there, looking at her like, you know, mm-hmm. See, this is what we teach our children.
Yeah, that is true.
So, you know, they're not trying to run your life.
Yes, they are.
They're trying to help you. That's all they're doing.
George, my grandchildren do the same thing.
Well,
now, that's
grandchildren
bad.
Have a tendency to copy what they see their parents do.
Yes, because my granddaughter is great for it.
Oh,
you know, if I go to walk out the door, you know, Grandma, where's your cane? You know, like, I don't want my cane. I'm fine. Grandma, you need your cane. You can't fall. Yeah, I'm not going to fall. And my grandson, if we go to Grandma, here, I'll hold your hand. Let me help you cross the street. You know, little boy, you're 5. You just turned 5. But I let him help me because really I'm helping him. Make sure he doesn't go run off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he said, Daddy said I gotta help you. So Grandma, hold my hand. So I can make sure that you get across the street okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Remember that old saying, out of the mouths of babes comes pearls of wisdom.
Yes. Lord, and they're good for it. Because they certainly can make me go back and eat my words.
Yeah, well, hey,
yeah,
you know what?
Yeah, they are. They're very sweet. They are truly, truly my heart. I'm honestly and truly that the greatest joy in the world was not killing my children so that I could have great grandchildren.
Oh,
that is my gift, not killing my children.
And I'm sure they appreciate that sentiment, too.
yeah, I'm certain my children are like, thanks, Mom, for not killing us today.
Yeah.
You know, like that movie thing. I brought you into the world and I can take you out.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
But the grandchildren, they are the greatest gift in the world.
No, I consider them payback. I ain't got mine yet.
Payback?
Payback.
No, honestly and truly, Ron, I'm telling you, when you hold your first grandchild, you just fall in love all over again. It's just a miracle. It's just, wow. It's just amazing to see your seed grow. You know, it's,
no,
here's the next generation.
I'm in the human farming, so I'm, you know, all about
it. Doesn't
that.
Matter. So, it doesn't matter. This is yours.
Grandchild and child born.
No, it's honestly and truly,
it's
honestly
the
and truly,
of the cattle.
Ron, it's different. It's different. Let me tell you, you know what? My doctor.
Ron,
my doctor.
And raise them?
No, see, it's not like that. When you hold them, it's an emotional attachment that just overtakes you. You know, my doctor, they just had their first grandchild. And I asked him, how did it feel, you know? And he told me, he said, Antoinette, I held him in my arms. He said, and I looked at him and told him, I work for you now. Because that's where everything that you have goes. It goes to them grandchildren. You know, when you're out, the only thing you can think of is, what am I going to do for my grandchildren? You know, about saving the world or, you know, doing things to improve the world, it's for my grandchildren. You know,
well,
I mean,
you know,
every day you start to look.
Right, just got back from Kansas City, and her daughter just had a little baby, or eight-pound baby girl, all right? Anyway, I said, well, that's great. I'm so happy to hear another little straw man's been born. And she said, what? Another straw man's been born.
Iggy, please put your hand up so you can correct Ron and let Ron know it's different when it's grandchildren. Iggy, please put your hand up.
No.
Please,
another
can I please
man
bring
born.
You in so you can tell him?
Another straw man has been born.
Yeah,
yes.
You know what?
Pledge allegiance
Ron,
to the flag.
Ron, that's not the way how
the United
you view
States
it.
Corporation of America.
No. Okay,
yeah.
Now, I believe she did. Hold on. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Iggy. Thank you for calling.
Maybe
when your first grandchild is born, and they put that little teeny tiny bundle into your arms, and that's the flesh of your flesh, and there's no feeling like it.
No, it's not. We just got a bad noise.
Yes, my phone is all messed up. I can't get it fixed till the second.
Well, that's okay. Look, we're just happy to have you on.
Yep.
And that's what I said, that's what he doesn't understand. You don't look at straw man. You don't look at any of those definitions. Everything else you know is thrown out the window. It's that grandbaby.
Yep.
I'm just thinking how the Rothschilds do it. That's how they think. Another baby straw man is born.
Yeah, but
you can't think of it that way because those aren't your grandchildren.
Yep. But when it's yours, I'm telling you, it's different, Ron. It's like falling in love all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God,
God
it's just nothing.
Happen.
Oh, Ron, it's just nothing
again.
Like them. Honestly and truly, you thought having your own children was a joy, which it is.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, that grandchild, oh, my God, it just takes your breath away. Yes, thank you. It honestly and truly does, and Ron, your mind is just on them all the
time.
Well,
I have adopted children, okay?
No, okay.
My younger son has hooked up with women, already had children, you know what I mean? And these children have attached to me and my wife, you know. And so
yeah,
my
but wait until you see one that it, when it's first born, Ron, and you get to hold it. You know, you get to hold that first baby, that first grandbaby.
I don't care. I'm screwed. I hate children.
Okay, well, you know what? Your whole line of thinking is going to change when that first grandchild comes from your son.
No, it might get worse. It ain't going to get
better.
It's
not.
It'll probably get worse. Oh, probably.
Trust me.
Oh, my God.
The hardest man, that grandchild will break down.
He's thinking the W.C. Fields school of thought. That's what Ron's doing. Remember that famous quote?
He's trying to be tough. And that just lets you know how soft he's going to be, doesn't it, Iggy?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? Do you like children?
Oh.
Only if they're cooked properly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'll
tell you, I never thought my husband would take the grandchildren because his thing was, they're your kids and you take care of them. That's always been his motto. If you have kids, don't drop them off here. They're your kids. You take care of them.
You deal with it.
And the first grandchild that was born, and they put her in his arms, everything changed.
Yeah. And it does. I remember when I had my oldest son, my dad, oh, my goodness, there was nothing that he wouldn't do for my son.
Yep.
My oldest son, you know, the first grandchild, and oh my goodness, my dad would take him. We wouldn't even know it. My dad would just take him, and my dad would go to the liquor store, and he would take my son, and he would go in there, having my son with him, and he would get my son an Orange Crush soda.
Yep.
Now my dad died when
my grandfather
my
used to do
son.
That to me, Orange
yeah,
Crush.
Well, you know what?
Honest
now,
to
look,
God.
When my son turned 21, he looked at me and he said, Mom, I can go to the liquor store and buy an Orange Crush soda just because. You know, not to drink. You know, it's just he can do it just because.
Yeah.
Because that's what my dad would do with him. You know, he took him to go and get an orange crushed soda.
When I was a child, my father, because he was with the fire department for so many years, I grew up around the fire department. And of course, when you grow up around the fire department, especially in where I lived at the time, many of the firehouses had their little mini bars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, you know, the children, they would try to discourage us from sitting at the bar with our parents. You know, and they would set up, they would tell us to go and, go and hang out with the other kids or something like that, right? I know I said kids, don't shoot me.
I'm old
fashioned. I'm sorry.
I am too, but they're not kids. Kids are goats.
It's not easy to change what my ways. I'm setting them, okay?
So, I know, but we got to change our
all
words.
All right,
they're not
I got
sacrifices.
Your point, lady. Okay, I get your point. Boy. But anyway, like I was saying, so most of the guys, because they knew my father and he was very well respected in the fire department, they didn't tell me to go hang out with the other children. They let me sit there. My father, on the other hand, kept insisting, go outside and play. Well, when my father's back was turned, the guy behind the bar would turn to me and go, want a can of Coke? Can of Pepsi? How about a can of orange? I said, one of each. And the guy goes, you got it, one of each.
Yeah.
My father would just hear that as he's walking back in and goes, don't give him one of each. All that sugar will hype him up.
Yeah.
What the bartender told him? Shut up, Corky. He's one of my best soda customers.
I remember when I was a young child, and the first time my grandpa ever took me out, he took me to the local bar, and he set me up at the bar with him there. He goes, get me and the boy a Budweiser. Mm-hmm. No, you already have that. We had about three.
What?
I was about 3 years old, so I drank Budweiser for years. And, I miss you, Grandpa. Here's to you.
Ron, my grandparents never gave me a drink.
Ron ain't right. Ron's got a few.
Well,
I can believe that because I know. I remember my uncles and things like that when it came to my brothers, and even my brothers with my sons, it was like they had to give them their first drinks. I would call and tell them off. My brothers, why'd you do that?
Antoinette.
And he's okay. We had to get them drunk. They all right.
Antoinette, check out this story. When I was born in 1962, my grandfather, who had three daughters, and my mom was the middle daughter, and she had me when she was 18 years old. And the
That's how old I was when I had my son. I was 18.
When I was born, the hospital I was in, my grandfather was working construction on that particular hospital. They were expanding it at the time. So he was outside working on it. So he was real close. And he had always told my mom, says, you made your bed, lie in it. You wanted this baby, you take care of it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was pretty harsh on her, because he didn't think she should have got pregnant at that age and whatnot.
Yeah.
Well, when I was born, he was the first one to her bedside.
Yeah.
And my bedside. He was the first one to hold me, and this is just stories I've been told from everybody in the family, and as I grew up, I was his first boy. He had never had a son. He always wanted a son, but all he could kick out was girls, After he had the third girl, he said, okay, enough's enough, that's it, we're not doing this no more. So when I was born, I was the first boy, and let me tell you what, I was his first son. There is nothing. I mean, when I was born, he took me everywhere. When I was a little older and he could handle me, but, he held me as a baby. But when I got a little bit older and could talk, my grandfather was my best friend. He took me everywhere. We went fishing all the time. It's funny, you know, when we talk about this kind of thing, you know, the grandparents, and this is my grandfather, and he's passed away now. He died about 10 years ago. But let me tell you what, and then my brother, which was his second grandson, he was just as thrilled. I mean, now he's got two boys. You know, he might outdo the girls. And he viewed us as his own kids.
Yeah.
I mean, in the summertime, that's where we went, to their house. Me and my brother, we went to stay with them. So my grandfather, he wanted us there because we had to work. We became lawnmowers. You know, he owned a lot of property, so we had to mow all the yards and all that. But that's a grandfather. A grandfather, you know, he wanted to teach us. He wanted to teach us how to grow stuff. You know, he was a big into gardening and all that. He wanted to teach us all that.
You know, that's the way how my dad was with my oldest son. Now,
he took him everywhere.
My youngest son was 2 when my father died. But my oldest son, you know, he taught how to, you know, cut grass, you know, do all of that kind of stuff. And he was always taking me. And, you know, he would always say, you know, when it came to my other son, oh, he couldn't wait until he got older. Unfortunately, you know, he passed away, so he didn't get to see that, and he never got to see my daughter. But, you know, just with the boys, and see, I was the only girl, I was the oldest, and I had 2 younger brothers.
Let me ask you this, Antoinette. Does myself and Gunslinger sound that much alike? You always call me Gunslinger. Gunslinger's going to probably have a complex over this.
Oh, I'm sorry, Gunslinger. But it's just
Gunslinger,
y'all's accent.
Gunslinger is probably
y'all
thinking of changing his name.
Y'all had that Southern girl. And you know what, see, don't take my dad, they had that Southern drawl. And my grandfather, who was from Virginia, you know, everyone was from Virginia in my family. And my grandfather has said that was our inheritance. And I always fight mine, so that you don't hear that Southern drawl. Now, when my father died, who had it really bad, I mean, his was really a very slow drawl. And my baby brother just started sounding like my dad, just like that, you know. And I have a cousin who sounds just like my father and looks like my dad, but my baby brother has that Southern drawl really bad. And my boys have to watch it. Now, my youngest son, he has it. And my granddaughter has it. And, you know, they never lived in the Deep South. But you would think that they were really Deep South. And, Lord, that child, her words could just, you know, just, Lord, have mercy. Child, where in the world did you get it from? But I really try to watch mine so that, but my grandfather said that, you know, we were not to.
I'm worried about Gunn getting a complex from being me being called him all the time, thinking, well, he might be rethinking, is this really me? You know, he might be having issues.
Gunslinger, I'm sorry. It's just that you know what? I just know both of y'all are Southerners, and I get Mike and
George.
Confused. Both of them had those New York accents.
That was not comparisons, that was group.
Well, now, just a minute, just a minute. Now, are you trying to say that I sound like a typical New Yorker here? Because I don't live down on 233rd Street in the Toyd Avenue, you know.
Cheeseburger. Greek different than George.
In my defense, y'all,
you know what I'm saying?
I had 2 brain surgeries, okay? I have to group things so that I have to do things to, you know, make a mental picture that, so, look, I'm doing good, okay?
Well, the mental picture
I'm looking for. Is if you mix a Texan with a New Yorker, what kind of breed do you come up with?
Now, you know what? Stop that.
You get a New Jersey person.
No, right. You get a New Jerseyan.
You know the best one that I ever heard, Ron? It was in the mess hall. I was feeding a unit, an Army unit from New Jersey, and one of the NCOs yelled across the mess hall at one of the other soldiers and yelled out, he went, "Yo, you with the face, come here." I never heard a soldier called like that before. You with the face. That was a new one on me. I said, is that...
I used to say that a lot, but not in the mess
hall.
You
with the face.
I go, hey, you with the face.
Yeah.
Get over here.
It's got to be a New Jersey thing. They watch Sopranos.
I call
I don't
my
know.
Children by each other's names.
Well,
and they'll get mad. And you know what I finally say? Look, you know which one you are.
Well, Antoinette, you know, let me put it this way. You know, getting back to the children thing real quick.
Yes.
My mother had four children, two boys, two girls. Mm-hmm. All right?
Mm-hmm.
It was my sister Louise, then my brother Billy, my sister Stephanie, and me being the last of the Mohicans. Well, my sister Louise, not to be outdone, decided she was going to have children, which was nice, you know. But she started out with my nephew Johnny, then my niece Jennifer, then my nephew David, and then my niece Heather. And my mother turned to her and said very quickly and very, very matter-of-factly, did you have to do the same thing I did, only in a different order?
At least she didn't say the thing Groucho Marx did. That got kicked off. That got him kicked off TV. Do you remember that?
I don't
know.
Don't you remember that from the You Bet Your Life, the TV show? Ron, remember how they kicked him off?
Remember how they kicked him off.
Some lady had something, a whole bunch of kids. Said, so tell me, how many children do you have? And the guy and the wife said, well, we have this many. And he said, you know, I like my cigar too, but I take it out of my mouth every now and then. They took him off the air.
Well, that's the network censorship.
I had three children. I have three children. They're grown. But I have two boys and a girl. My parents had a girl and two boys because I was first and then my brothers. And my daughter came last.
Seems like there were bigger families back in the day.
My mother came from a family. It was 17 of them.
Yep, bigger families.
And it's three left. Three left out of 17.
When my niece Jennifer had her twins...
Mm-hmm.
She was only trying for one, and she got the surprise of her life that she was having identical twins.
Bless her heart. I couldn't. I wouldn't. I remember I used to think like a nut that I wanted twins.
Here's the thing about that. My niece Jennifer, when she was like 8 months pregnant, she walked up to me and said, "Uncle George, is it going to get any worse?" I said, "Well, dear, you're having twins. I think the worst part is over, except when you go into labor. God help you, my dear, you are in trouble." And her husband turns to me laughing and says, "Well, her husband turns to me laughing and says, "Trouble? I'm the one she's going to be crossing the fingers of."
Yeah, but she was the one feeling that pain.
Yeah.
Hey, sure, her pain, too. That's definite.
I noticed Ron has a shortage of trolls tonight. Is this because it's a holiday weekend and they're all doing bath salts, or what's going on? You know?
Good call, golf dogs.
Made up for the whole weekend.
Yeah, pretty much. They all took off, you know, for the holiday.
Well, you got about 4 minutes, peoples.
4 minutes for what?
For what?
Before the British lady kicks us off.
We have half an hour.
35 minutes, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still here for another half hour?
But tonight was a slow, relaxing show. So maybe Tuesday we'll come back and hit with some topics, some hard topics. I would really like to go into the GMO foods more and, you know, the chemtrails.
Any word from...
That's up to Ron. And, you know, of course, whatever y'all you know, if y'all have any ideas, but you know, I do think that we really, and then with this Ebola, you know, just where does these viruses come from? And because we come on so late, the doctor that we've had on the show before, Dr. Carly, this, you know, this hour is too late for her. Because I would love to have her back on where, you know, she goes into the vaccines and everything else.
Well,
but in the meantime, I would say a night
that I'm not on, I'd love to hear what Dr. Carly has to say on that subject. Definitely.
Yeah, she is. I'm going to put her link in the chat room for y'all. But, you know, she would tell you that all vaccines are man-made. And she was a doctor in New York. And she lost her license because she exposed this. She was a surgeon. I'm sorry, she was a surgeon.
Yep.
But it's drcarly.com. So
is it drcarly.com?
You know what? That's what I was just thinking. That probably doesn't go there, huh? That doesn't make any sense. Okay, why won't you get out?
Well, one thing's for certain, I cherish the doctor I have. She's really a very thorough physician. One day I went into the doctor's office. It was shortly after I got out of the hospital, after I took that fall last year. And I went for a follow-up, and she took a look at the back of my head, and she goes, "Well, let me see. Hocus pocus, let's get in focus." And I'm like, "Doc, I'm not a crystal ball." And she goes, "Wanna bet?" I'm sitting there trying not to laugh, and she's like, "Let me see here. No lumps."
I
said,
"You
want to bet?
George,
you're going to the wrong part of the head."
I already know what she found, George.
"Yeah, what's that?"
"Brain damage."
Hey!
Oh, look at that!
Blind dogs, jeez!
Oh, no, I just had a pick on you.
You got me with that one there, buddy.
That was a good one, dog. There you go.
All right. One for golf dogs. Well, I said, first of all, it's not the side of my head. I landed on the very back of the noggin. And she goes, "Oh, well, let me take a look there." "Yep, there's definitely a lump there, and there's something written on it. Hold on a second. Let me move the hair a little more so I can see if I can read it better. Made in the USA. Did you hit something that said made in the USA? I said, "No." She goes, "Well, there you go. You were made in the USA. That proves it." I said, "Doc."
I mean, she has a sense of humor.
Real quick, George,
before you lose your train of thought, you know, you like to do voices, cartoon voices. Can you do Elmer Fudd very good? I mean, is he one of your favorites?
Well, to be very, very honest, it's one of my favorites only because I can do it so well.
I like Elmer Fudd.
But you see,
he's one of my favorites.
One of the voices that I've done over the years is not a cartoon voice. It's actually an impression of an old radio host from back in the 70s, a man that, you know, really is hard to do sometimes because trying to do that impression, it scratches my throat.
"But if I sit here and do the Wolfman is easy to do, but you know what? I start tickling my throat and it really irritates. Oh, boy, does it ever do that. Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna howl tonight, baby."
Whatever happened to him?
He died.
The Wolfman. I think he's passed away, ain't he?
Oh, yeah. He died years ago.
Did he?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, y'all. That's me. I'm sorry. I'm trying to mute it. But it doesn't want to work. Let me hurry up and just get y'all the link.
Let's see here.
And I can get out.
Wolfman Jack, born in Brooklyn in 1938, died July 1st, 1995, in Belvedere, North Carolina.
Wow.
Yeah.
His actual name was Robert Weston Smith.
Wolfman Jack. Remember him well.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. The first time I did Wolfman Jack impression, it was actually on CBS FM, an oldie station here in New York. So I turn around and I says,
"Well, let me tell you something there, baby. We gonna howl at the moon tonight because it's gonna get really rocking. We're gonna give you the song. It's called Riders on the Storm by the Doors." Whoa.
The guy that I, the show I was on that night, it was like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. I was working night security, and the guy's name is Max Kinkle. Max, after he recorded that, he's sitting there laughing profusely. He goes, "How did you do that?" I said, "Very carefully." But I've done. Let me see. One of the impressions I like to do sometimes is Bill Clinton. And, of course, you know, Gunslinger has a line about Bill Clinton that I will not repeat here in Mixed Company. But I did not have sexual relations with that woman. She actually had it with me. And people turn around and go, "What?" So I turn around and I just turn around and I do my Nixon impression. I go, "I'm telling you right now, if that were me, I wouldn't do it at all. I wouldn't have done that in the White House. No, sir. Camp David made me, but not the White House."
Okay. Love, guys. I put one to the second show that we had Dr. Carly on. And then I also gave you one of her websites because she has two. But on the website for this one, she has the legal definition of weapons of mass destruction. And, you know, so you'll be, she is a very interesting lady.
Be a good guest.
Pardon me?
That'd be a good guest.
Oh, yeah, she is a wonderful guest. You, a very no-nonsense person, okay? You know, she is right
pretty,
to the point.
Pretty much like Dorothy was tonight. I told Brian before we brought Dorothy on, she's not going to cut up. She's not going to laugh. She's going to talk. You know, she's not a humorist. She's not coming into... to entertain you, she's coming in and just talks.
Yes.
And I guess that pisses some people off. You know, they want to have a good time and party and, you know, and jump around.
Because
sometimes
people want to be, I'm sorry for cutting across you, they want to be entertained.
Right.
And
yep.
They don't want to learn anything, you know, unless they can learn it through entertainment.
But
you know, where you accidentally learn something.
Let me tell you my take on that whole looking back on what took place there tonight, and this was several hours ago now. I felt like when she brought up the religious aspect into it, and she basically said, "I used to be a Catholic, I am no more." That when
right.
she said that, all these radars went off in people's minds.
Yes.
You know, when I say that, the Catholics in the room, okay, they took offense to what they just heard, and boy, they just went crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about the diehard Catholics that don't want to hear anybody talk anything bad about the church or to reveal any truth about the church. And when she did that, boy, let me tell you what, and I've actually had a conversation with another person that was in there, another female, which is a diehard Catholic, and you know, I actually told her early on, "Thanks for joining us." I didn't tell her she had to leave, but I just told her, "Thanks for joining us." But you know, this, you know, I always tell people in the chat room, if you don't like what you're hearing, and this is a show that you're friends with, say I'm at George's show, and somebody, and he has a guest. Or somebody that I don't agree with, I'm not going to go in there and trash talk the chat room, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's just not how I operate.
If I don't like what I'm hearing, I'm going to hit the button and I'm going to disappear. Okay?
Yeah.
But if you're a friend of mine, don't come into my chat room and start talking crap. Okay? And that's what took place. I'm not naming names. That's what took place.
Right.
And I take exception with that. And I will, in the future, do the same thing on their show.
I remember years ago, in the early days of my show on the air, I remember having this. I don't know if you remember this person, Golf Dogs, Deborah J.M. Smith.
Oh yes, I remember that. Show.
And I had heard a lot of the bad stuff about her and whatnot, but you know, I wasn't going to not have her there or anything until something happened. Well, unfortunately, something did happen. I had asked a question of everyone on the phones, and she went way off the deep end, and she turned around and she basically started trashing one of my other callers.
Mm-hmm.
And they started arguing back and forth, and I said, "Ladies, I'm not going to have this here," and they wouldn't listen. They kept talking over me, and I kept saying, "Ladies, I'm not going to have this here. I will hang up on both of you if it doesn't stop now." And they kept going and going, so I just went click, click.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I said, it wasn't anything personal, but I will not have that kind of stuff on this show. I will not have someone bring problems from another show to this show because it's just not, it's not fair to everyone else.
Right.
And my former friend, Ray, turned around and he basically told me, "Well, you didn't have to hang up on this person." And I'm like, "Oh yes, I did. If I hang up on one and they're both arguing back and forth, I'm going to disconnect them both because
yeah.
I will not have it. It's not fair to you. It's not fair to me. It's not fair to the people that are listening, to the broadcast."
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially to the guests. The guest takes time out of their day, their schedule. They have to prepare what they're going to talk about. And, it's receive them respectfully. And if not, if you can't, then just leave.
Well, we got lucky tonight. Dorothy wasn't even in the chat room, so she didn't see what they were saying in the chat room. If she did, she might have took offense with that. She didn't see it. I seen it. And, of course, I'm on the air, so I can't respond to everything in the chat room. So, all I can do is notify Brian, my co-host, and say, "Listen, we got problems here. We went from, like I said, 30-something people down to 20-something people and down to 18-something people." I said, we've got to do something. Iggy jumped in, and Iggy's in here right now, and Iggy intervened, and bailed us out, so to speak, because it was going downhill quick. Because you get people that are supposed to be your friends in the chat room, and all of a sudden, they're not your friend. All of a sudden, this show sucks, just come out and start talking shit, And if you don't like it, just leave. Don't sit there and mouth off, because let me tell you what, there's some of them that did. They don't have shows, and there's some of them that do have shows. I will be visiting their shows real soon and leaving for weird reasons. This is not interesting. Bye.
Golf Dogs, when Ron and I first started this show, we did alternative news and, everything, was alternative. Well, a lot of the people that...
Alternative? You mean like alternative lifestyles?
No.
Oh, thank God. Okay, never mind. Oh, don't go scaring me. I don't know. Okay, never mind.
No, okay, I'm sorry. We did alternative.
No, we were talking about swingers. Swingers, Mike.
not mainstream news. We were
all right. I understand.
Gone.
It's okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm not taking it personally at all.
Oh, okay. I didn't think that you were. I
no,
just
that's
wanted
fine.
To clarify
I think
that.
It's just perfect.
I think you
Wonderful.
Were making a joke when you said that.
Of course,
but
I
no,
am.
We had well, a lot of people.
Members, Mike.
We had a lot of people that were in the chat room that we're used to, the mainstream mainstream media, and if they didn't hear it on mainstream media, "Oh, you're wrong," and oh, you listen to Alex Jones, you listen to this, you listen to that. You know, well, you're telling me I can't do this, you're telling me I can't do that. No, you do whatever you want to do. But, you know, here's what's really going on. You know, you're telling me my birth certificate, you're telling me money's not money. You know, the whole thing, you know, is, and so it was a constant battle. And, you know, and eventually they left. But
yeah.
Others came. You know, because that was our format. You know, it was not trying to go back to the mainstream media where we knew we were telling you lies if we were going to stick with the mainstream media. But,
yeah.
You know, we were going beyond media. You know,
what happened,
we're going,
you know,
beyond what
that.
The doctors are saying. And, you
it
know,
happens,
look, this is what's really going on.
Away. This happens when you venture away from what the people want to hear. You know,
yeah.
when you kind of, you look for, like you said, alternative media. We're doing a show next week on fantasy football. Well, we've done probably lost at least 5 or 10 of our people, our normal followers. They won't be there because they don't care about football. They don't care about sports.
Right.
You know, but we don't care. You know, if we're going to do our show the way we want to do it, you do what you want to do.
Right.
Click
well,
the button.
Well, that's like,
I,
you know.
Click the button.
That's like when I I don't have live guests, you know, as far as, you know, visiting guests on my show. Back early in the early goings when I started out, in January of 2010, I interviewed Ray Stevens.
Excuse me. Oh, did you?
Yes, I did. I interviewed Ray Stevens.
Oh, wow!
Because at the time he had come out with a couple of songs. One was Thank You, which he dedicated to the troops. And
mm-hmm.
another one, I can't remember the title of offhand, but he had his agent in the video play the grandmother. It was about, I think the song had to do with Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got in touch with his agent, and his agent, very, very nice person, very nice guy, gave me the direct phone number to Ray Stevens' house.
Wow.
And I called up Ray Stevens, and I got to talking with him, and we made the arrangements to do the interview. I had these index cards of questions all ready for him.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, Blog Talk Radio had a thing called Cinchcast, where you could record stuff and whatnot. And I was able
mm-hmm.
to do a conference call, record it, and then download the MP3 and then upload it again to the server, you know, once I did, you know, some necessary editing, you know, take out the extra conversations that were involved.
Yes.
But I talked to Ray Stevens, and it was, to me, and this, I, you know, I'm a little biased in this because, you know, when it comes right down to it, I always feel that every show I do is a good show.
Mm-hmm.
But this interview was, for the first interview I ever conducted, was the best interview I've done, and the only one I've done, actually, to date. Now, my
mm-hmm.
next guest, which I'm working on, I don't know if anyone is familiar with the TV series from back years ago, a few years back, called Babylon 5.
Oh,
the
I remember
that. Show.
I never heard of it.
Claudia Christian.
Sci-fi.
Who played the part of Lieutenant Commander Susan Ivanova,
mm-hmm.
is going to be a guest on my show.
Oh,
but
wonderful.
But it's going to be during the daytime edition, not in the
yeah.
nighttime edition. So I'm working on that for sometime in October.
Oh, wonderful.
And she's going to get back to me around about October to let me know, you know, when we can, so we can make the arrangements and everything.
Mm-hmm.
She's involved in a foundation that she started of people with alcohol and drug addiction. And she's an accomplished actress. She is absolutely wonderful to communicate with. We've only talked by email thus far. I am truly looking forward to being able to interview an actress of her caliber because she is a very sweet and gentle woman. She is very kind. And I said, if you listen to the archives of my nighttime show, I'm going to warn you now, a lot of the language is a little dicey. And in her email to me the next day, she said, "Don't worry, George, I've heard worse."
Yeah.
And I said, "Really?" And she goes, "Oh, yes. On the set of Babylon 5, we used to cut up and have all kinds of fun, and the guys would swear like sailors."
Yeah.
So she says, "But I don't know if I can do the nighttime thing." And I said, "Well, I'm working on the daytime edition and getting it ready to roll out in September. It's a one day a week and on the daytime edition." And she said, "Well, in October, we'll get back in touch with you and we'll make the arrangements then." So I'm really looking forward to a live interview with Claudia Christian. And I said, "Do you think there's a chance you could get Jerry Doyle, who played Michael Garibaldi, and a couple of the other folks to join us?" And she goes, "I'll see what I can if I can twist their arm enough."
Oh,
so
wonderful!
I may have others on the show. Don't we?
Yes. Sam, we dealt more with
this.
Exposing the truth of what's really going on. You know, we had Debbie Tavares on, and she's from StopTheCrime.net, and she talks about the smart meters and, you know, things like that. So, you know, ours was vaccinations, you know, with Dr. Carly, you know, smart meters. I wanted Karen Hootis, but we weren't able to get her because she is the World Bank whistleblower that, you know, is letting you know what's going on behind the scenes.
Oh, she would have
within
been
the World Bank.
Have.
Yes. I mean, so it's, you know, these were the kind of shows that we were doing, and, you know, we did some now, but not like how we were doing them, where, you know, we did more on, you know, the letting it be known what was really going on in this world, you know, what's really happening now, more of the conspiracy theory. But then you find out that, you know, with everything that, you know, you were told was a conspiracy, not everything is a conspiracy. You know, they've been proven to be facts, you know, like the GMOs and the chemtrails. You know, what are they spraying? You know, why are they spraying this? You know, what is really going on?
I posted a few articles just in the last day or two about what used to be called conspiracy theory. Nowadays, everybody's talking about, you know.
Yes.
You know, people need to wake up. The thing is, you know, people like to badmouth Alex Jones and talk about him, and I have issues with him as well myself. But yet, he's been talking about things way, years and years
before anyone else.
Yep.
Yes.
And it's true today. What he was talking about, you know, a year, 10 years ago, is true today. So there's more to it than people want to realize.
Golf Dogs, I have an issue with Alex Jones only in part. A lot of what his Infowars.com site has done in recent weeks and recent months, especially in light of what was happening with the Bundy Ranch and now, of course, with the southern borders and everything, you have to take into consideration not everything is a conspiracy theory and not everything is going to get told by the lamestream media. So, you know, there's a saying I like to live by. Take what you like and leave the rest.
Yes, and that is true. But, Mike, did you know that he had Bundy on his show, on one of his shows? He did an interview with him.
George, you mean?
George, I'm sorry.
George, I was going to say, because I'm trying to think of myself.
I'm not, hey, listen, I can't do a Greek accent to save my life, so I'm going to
lie. I am so sorry.
It's all right. Don't worry. We're here.
Yeah, but he did an interview with Clive and Bundy. He did do an interview with him. And he was there. He was there at the protests and everything when it came to, you know, what was going on there. I mean, you know, so a lot of things that you know, a lot of people push back from. You know, Alex Jones is there. I mean, and just like you said, you know, you take what you need, take what you can use, and discard the rest.
You know who I got an issue with right now is Glenn Beck. Anybody that listens to Glenn Beck,
I don't
listen
to him.
I used to listen to him, and that guy,
yeah,
he's gone Hollywood on us or something. This guy has gone total Fruit Loop, and he's lost sense of reality is all I can think of.
Lost sense of reality and perspective. Seriously.
Well, you got to remember, they get paid, you know. Some of them, they get paid. They become agents. I mean,
when you just look at what's really going on.
What he did here recently was he dissed his base.
Yes, ma'am. To try to get a job at CNN. Glenn Beck wanted a job at CNN, okay? This just happened in the last few weeks, and it fell through. But he offended everybody on his side in order to try to get that. I'm talking about the conservatives.
He was on CNN once, and then he went over to Fox News, and then he opened up the Blaze.
And now nobody wants him. Nobody wants him anymore. Nobody wants to hear from him. I've deleted all of his feed from my
because he's alienated so many people.
He's basically turned. He showed his true colors, and his true colors is I'm all about me. All about Glenn Beck and the hell with everybody else, you know?
Ron?
Mm-hmm. Yes?
Is there anything that you want to say about how we previously did our shows the way how, you know, we wanted them to go?
What about them?
I just asked, is there anything that you wanted to add to that?
Not really. We just do what we do. We believe in free will.
You know, Antoinette, I'll tell you something. A lot of people, because I've been on the air as long as I have, I've actually got new people that are new to Blog Talk Radio that are starting shows of their own.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually coming to me for advice on how to do a good show and whatnot. And I had this one guy, and I haven't found his show yet, but I had this one guy say to me, you know, in the virtual green room, you know, you really got a good show here, and I like it. And some of it, you know, is a little silly, too silly for me, but, you know, tell me, you know, what makes it your show successful? Well, apparently people are seeing it as a successful show, and I'm grateful for that. So I said, the only thing I do is exactly what I do when I'm out and about in public. I just ask people for their opinions. I ask people for their thoughts on a particular topic or news story or what have you, and let people decide for themselves. You know, instead of having all these professional pundits doing it,
But in keeping with the tradition tonight, though, George, we have to know, in keeping with the pick on George night, there's one thing we do have to know. What did you do with all the money?
I buried it in the backyard.
All the money your parents gave you for the voice lessons. What did you do with that money?
We
want to know. Inquiring minds want
to know.
Are you
all those music lessons?
Mr.
What
Mike
happened to that money?
Are you hitting on my singing, Mike?
Oh, shit.
Okay, listen, folks. We're
Let's
down to 6 minutes, and you never know when Blog Talk is going to kick us off. So, unfortunately,
kick us off in 4 minutes.
Well, you know what? Sometimes we've been kicked off 15 minutes ahead of time. So,
the drummer always used to ask me that.
Mama got out of prison.
Good show, Ron. Ron made a very good statement prior to the show started. I'm going to do my regular show, no overtime, period. So I just want to say good show, Ron.
I'm
going to
the circumstances.
Yes, it was a good show, Ron.
I'd like to
thank y'all for coming.
Top shelf, buddy.
I like the lower shelf. It's more darker.
And golf, I hope your mom's doing better. I really hope she's
doing
better.
Yes, golf.
Yeah, really,
I'm going to keep your mother in prayer.
My prayers are with her.
I'm going to keep her in prayer.
Yep.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate that.
Okay, we're going to hear one of the songs that I truly, truly love. So I hope y'all will listen to it with me because I love this song.
Well, let's spin it.
And we'll talk to you guys later.
No, please wait and listen.
All right, we're going to listen.
I love this song. And she is mellow to go out with.
I hear that Leslie cranking.